Aaron. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, conspiracy theorists, crackpots, seekers of truth, warriors of reason, and, of course, people with full dental coverage in this time of the great trouble, and basters. Good morning to you, basters, and good morning to you, Mark Riley. You got full dental? Is that why you're showing me your teeth?
That's right. I got full dental. I'm Steve Harvey.
Yeah?
How are you?
You're Steve Harvey.
Oh, no, sorry.
That guy does everything.
He shows his teeth
everything.
More than any black man I've ever seen.
He produces. He's a radio host. He's got a TV show, and he's not that funny. Not that funny at all. Never has been. I don't understand his success.
Are you calling him a has-been?
No, he's not a has-been. I just like the black comedy world on with a lot of those guys is a whole other world. They came up in a whole other world.
I know, but he's not that funny in that world either.
No, Bernie Mac's the guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a big DL Hughley fan. I love DL. I like Bernie Mac. Not a huge Cedric fan, but I understand.
I'm not a Cedric fan at all.
Yeah.
Well, you just dropped the entertainer part.
I don't know. You know, I met a lot of those guys out in Aspen years ago, and it was weird that, in retrospect, when I went to Aspen, it was like 95 for one of the first Aspen comedy festivals. I was out there with Comedy Central, and I was on a show. Bernie Mac was on it, and Cedric, and I had no idea who they were. I mean, I was like, who are these guys? And they were like, they were pros, and it's like there's this whole other world. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
The whole black comedy world is like it's almost completely separate from the white comedy world that I'm in.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting to me that Bernie Mac is able to go to the black Bible Belt, and a lot of people don't think there is a black Bible Belt, but there is. It's roughly equivalent to the white Bible Belt in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernie can go down there and cuss up a storm, and those folks think it is hilarious.
Well, he's a real deal. He's raw. You know, he kicks ass up there for anybody. I mean, he's a solid act,
yeah.
And, you know, and there, no one can lay it down like him.
Oh, really. By the way, you remember the other day we were arguing with Wayne Gilman about whether or not to call Colin Powell a Tom?
Yes.
Well, somebody called Condoleezza Rice Aunt Jemima.
Oh, really?
Wisconsin, yeah, in Madison, where we got an affiliate this time.
Where does this come from?
It's a story.
Oh, it's in a, you found a story?
It is an actual story. The guy had to apologize for calling Condoleezza Rice Aunt Jemima.
Why do we have to apologize? Was he in politics?
Well,
why
actually,
would he have to apologize?
He apologized because he was probably afraid. Because remember now, this was Wisconsin, where that conservative guy got blown out for calling Mexicans wetbacks.
Right, but didn't we decide that she is the sort of the neocon Tomette? Then we just sort of decide that.
Yeah, but we didn't call her Jemima.
That she can, you know, just you know, play piano. She's like, I think she's like just a big daddy's girl myself, just looking for approval constantly. That's my feeling about my gut feeling about her. Why hand it to me? You do.
I know it already.
Yeah. So okay.
The guy's name is John Sylvester. I
think. Yeah, he's a program director at a morning personality at WTDY AM.
Yes, in Madison, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. He must be our competition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Called her Aunt Jemima and then apologized to Aunt Jemima.
And he referred to Colin Powell as an Uncle Tom. When was this? This was on Monday. So we were ahead of him. So we broke it first. We did it first, and we didn't
broke
apologize.
We broke the show first, yeah. Yes.
Why did he have to apologize? I understand. Did his program director make him apologize?
No, he is the program director.
Oh, so he's apologizing.
The general manager said that there was no plan to discipline the guy, and the apology was issued on his own.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I watched Carrie's Daughters on Larry King last night, and I couldn't be more disappointed with a lot of them. I'll tell you.
We talked to one of them, didn't we?
No, we talked to Edward's daughter. Do we have Carrie's daughter?
I thought we had Carrie's daughter.
Yeah, I started thinking about the whole thing. You know, I started thinking about, like, you know, she was saying that he had such dignity, and he was such a, you know, such a pride and dignity and all this stuff. It's like, he ditched right away. Where the hell is he? You know what I mean? I haven't heard nothing. I mean, I just don't understand how somebody can go through what he went through without at least, you know, throwing a couple of jabs here and there. I mean, not necessarily dignity or anything else, but if I'm in that kind of fight, I mean, afterwards, I mean, there's one thing being a, you know, a good sport, but the other thing is, it's like, you know, hang out a little bit. You know, how about a little re-entry? You know what I mean? Where is he? Just ran back to the Senate? I mean, it bothers me that he might just be one of these career politician guys that, you know, that the whole thing was a big sham on some level.
Well, it wasn't a sham. He is a career politician. He had a career to go back to, unlike John Edwards, by the way, who gave up his Senate seat to make the run for vice president.
Yeah, poor guy's going to have to just, you know, go back to his lucrative law, you know, his
lucrative
law practice.
Yeah, the PI gig. Yeah. All right, get hurt. Call me, John Edwards.
Now, wait a minute.
You remember me?
No, he's not that guy.
I know. That's only Johnny Cochran.
I mean, yeah, he might do a little of that, but not quite that low. You know, not quite that low.
Not quite?
No.
Sure.
No, I'm not sure, but I'm assuming.
No, he was a good PI lawyer.
Yeah.
Helped out a lot of people.
What were you going to say about Kerry, though?
Well, I mean, look, this is a guy, I thoroughly expected John Kerry to give it up relatively quickly. What is significant to me is that he seems not to be playing any role whatsoever in selecting who's going to be the next chair of the DNC. I figure if you're going to be an active guy, if you're going to be a player in the party, then you should be backing somebody that's got a shot at being chair of the DNC. Everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Tom Vilsack and Alexis Herman both pulled their names out of the running. So
I heard he was trying to draft some legislation, too, about child health care coverage. But, yeah, I mean, obviously he's not as active as he was because he was in the public's eye every day.
Yeah.
You know, but it just seems to me that, you know, there's some people out there in the circles of emails, you know, talking about, you know, these recounts in Ohio, that he's just laying low, waiting for the right time to come out. And I don't get that feeling.
The Senate is a very depressing place to be right now if you're a Democrat. You're in the minority. The only thing you have at your disposal at this point seems to be the filibuster and the press conference.
Yeah.
Other than that, you really have no power as a Democrat in the Senate.
They can't hide that weird little touch of sadness that my dad has all the time. You know, it's like just,
What, try to hit that high note and not quite make it?
Well, no, it's just that, like, you know, I had a little bit of it yesterday. Like, you know, it's just waking up to the new reality that, you know, they're outnumbered, their power is limited, and, you know, whatever steam that they're going to get and whatever passion they muster up, you know, especially within the House, it's going to be undercut by this sort of like, okay, we're going to do it.
Yeah. Touchdown!
We're going to, yay! Right. At the core of their passion is the question mark. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here we go, right? Here, we're going to do what we can, right?
Well, you remember that scene in Animal House when Bluto runs out by himself?
Yeah,
charges out, and then nobody else follows him at first?
What was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Yeah. That's so well.
Are you seeing what we need right now is a John Belushi to fuel the Democratic Party?
Hey, wouldn't hurt. We need some kind of fuel.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the Democrats have got to get up off the floor. I mean, I really think they have done a decent job in kind of the public wound licking that the Democrats always do when they get their heads handed to them. This isn't the first time.
Yeah, I didn't feel a lot of that, and I think that people are getting up off the floor, and I think people are taking action. I was a little, you know, I was thinking about it last night, and, you know, a lot of times I don't, because of my own personal frustration or whatever, I just assume that everybody's feeling the same way as me and that everyone's doing, but a lot of people are getting up, they're taking action, they're getting on with their lives, they're getting I just got an email from a cat in Denver. They want me to come to a moveon.org event out there. I'm going to try and get back to him today.
Okay.
So, I mean, people are starting to regroup and they're still, you know, moving forward with taking action on a local level and working out however they can.
I feel bad in a way that Alexis Herman took her name out of the running. Alexis Herman was a great labor secretary. She succeeded Robert Reich, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the person that really settled. Remember the UPS strike of a few years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't remember. It was a big strike.
Mm-hmm.
And she essentially settled it. She's a very, very skilled negotiator. She's a decent fundraiser, not as good as McCall.
You wanted to see her as a DNC?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I mean,
she was Ron Brown's protege. Ron Brown was the last successful DNC chair.
Where's she at now? Is she out of the game or what?
Well, she's probably in private practice doing, you know, making goo gobs of money.
Maybe we should call her and tell her that maybe she ought to rethink it.
Well, you know, we used to have a running joke, Secretary Herman and I, when she was actually in the Clinton cabinet, because she kept saying she wanted to come and be a talk show host.
Mm-hmm.
So we should invite her up here, because she would probably spend the day.
She would spend the day and tell us what needs to happen. She's still got some foresight.
Oh, yeah. She's a very, very brilliant. She's kind of like the good cop to Condoleezza versus bad cop, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
Condoleezza, when I look at her, I saw a special on her the other night on CNN, and all I really see is just this sort of, you know, the face of unbridled opportunism. I don't see, you know, I just see somebody who ultimately just wants to make her mark, you know, at any cost, and has a lot to prove. I mean, that's what I feel.
Well, yeah, she has taken advantage of every, and I'm not talking about it in the negative sense, but she's taken advantage of every opportunity that has come her way. She decided to switch from the Democratic to the Republican parties at the time when Republicans were really just starting to cast around for some black conservatives
mm-hmm.
to try and, you know, move forward their master plan.
Right.
And she was the
you
right
mean
person.
Master plan?
Yes.
Okay.
She was in the right place at the right time. She's a brilliant woman. There is no doubt about it. You don't get a PhD by the age of 26 without being real smart.
They showed her playing piano on CNN twice, and I, it was all right. I mean, yeah,
I don't know. She played with Yo-Yo Ma, but my guess is if she was just another pianist, she, you know, or if she wasn't Condoleezza Rice, she probably wouldn't have had that opportunity.
I love those kind of moments where you can just tell that Yo-Yo Ma's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, right. When is this going to be over?
We're going to talk about some issues when we come back. They need more troops in Iraq. They think they're going to have elections, and Iran is backing down all that after this. It's 16 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Check out all our favorite links, our latest blog entries, and our new line of merchandise at morningsedition.com.
It's winter, and that challenges my immune system. Hey, this is Larry King, and to stay healthy, I depend on the advanced protection of Ester-C. Advanced because Ester-C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So give your immune system the kind of help I give mine. Get the advanced protection of Ester-C. Ester-C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
Look for Ester-C at Walgreens, GNC, and everywhere vitamins are sold.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
So I got the hint.
What hint?
About my problem.
Believe me, you don't have a problem.
I'm talking about the Denorex she left in the shower last week.
Oh, that. Well, I noticed your dandruff was back.
If you've used dandruff shampoos that didn't work, you're ready for Denorex. Denorex penetrates deep into the scalp to control dandruff and leave hair looking healthy.
I wanted to tell you how great your hair looked, but I guess we got sidetracked.
Are you finally ready for Denorex? Use as directed.
The Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions. The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now enjoying a nice hot Thanksgiving dinner. The Smiths are starving.
Great idea.
Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather, Sirius 150 to 159.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hello, this is Rod Stewart for RAD, Recording Artists Against Drunk Driving. Your lifestyle is your business, but when you drive drunk, you become everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be smart, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Project Impact is a FEMA initiative that brings communities together to take actions that prepare for and protect against natural disasters before they happen. The concept of Project Impact is simple. We can accomplish more by working together than we can by working alone. For more information about how you can use Project Impact to build a disaster-resistant community, visit www.fema.gov.
kid, are you in the car with your parents right now? Have they ever asked you about the drug ecstasy? Probably not, right? They still think parties are all about getting drunk. Or that drugs are something only bad kids would do. Hey, if they never ask, they'll never know the ease used by good kids, just like you. They'll never know about those bottles in your bedroom that look like vitamins, or that glow stick jewelry. They'll never know that E can cause seizures, strokes, heart attacks, or death. Even the first time you use it. Yeah, you sure got them fooled, all right.
Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
The hour. Mark Maron here on Morning Tradition with Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Air America Radio. And we're talking about Iraq now. Iraq. They need more troops. Shinseki knew it from the get-go when we went into this fake war to begin with. It's a very real war, but on fake pretenses, which seems to be lost. Not only are people not talking about that anymore, that we went on to war based on a lie, but they're not talking about the fact that, where's the terrorism? Man, all I heard about every day, every inch of my body was, you know, just absorbing constant terror threats, constant fears of terrorism, constant terror, 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 terror. Now after the election, I guess
no
it went
terror.
Away. What is that about? Was the whole thing a sham?
Well, you know, the troop thing, I think, may be not necessarily a sham, but a smokescreen. They have needed additional troops long before the Fallujah Offensive. The Fallujah Offensive gives them a great cover for saying they need additional troops, but they've needed additional troops from day one. They've known that 138,000 was not enough.
And now that the election's over, it's like it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they handle this and who they put in there. But the idea that, all, you know, you can't just empty a town. I mean, okay, so they've pushed a lot of these guys out, but now how are they going to manage the situation? I mean, they just emptied that town, Riley. There's nobody left in Fallujah.
But you know what? They're not looking necessarily for those troops to occupy Fallujah. What the military is saying, and I think this is probably pretty legit, they figure, look, we flushed these people out of Fallujah. Now they're all over the place. Well, we got to go after them so that they're not comfortable anyplace else like they got comfortable in Fallujah. And that's going to take additional troops. That makes sense from a military standpoint. Not that I'm any great militarist or anything, but that seems to make a little bit of sense. But the idea that the troops, you know, need to be redeployed because of Fallujah, that I'm not buying.
Well,
they've known this for a while.
Right, but I think the idea is that now that they've pushed some of these insurgents, not at least out of Fallujah, they're still out there. I think it seems to me what they're working towards is trying to secure the country enough to have these elections in some form or another.
Oh, yeah.
And that way, because they know that a lot of the Sunnis are freaking out about possibly being, you know, run the country being run by the Shia. Is that not true? It is true.
No,
right?
No, it is absolutely true.
And what are the options, though? What are the possibilities here, Mark Riley, that what might be happening is that there's going to be a big wave of momentum. You know, they might send some more troops in or figure out how to reorganize the troops for the election, and then America just pulls out the bulk of its troops.
You know, that could theoretically happen, but a lot of that's going to depend on the conduct of the election. The election is set now for January 30th. Iyad Alawi, Iraq's stand-in prime minister, or what do they call him, acting, whatever he is, says that the election is going to go ahead despite the violence, despite the intimidation, and in spite of a possible boycott by Sunnis. Now, Sunnis comprised about 20% of the Iraqi population, but they were the ones that ran things under Saddam Hussein, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Shiites now are the schism between the two, because remember, they had kind of united to fight the U.S. occupation for
right.
a period of time. Well, it looks like that schism now has resurfaced between the Sunnis and the Shiites. Alawi is himself a Shiite. They are 60% of the population. And the Sunnis are saying, look, you know, if this election goes off as planned, and if the numbers hold, it is going to be a Shia-dominated government that would have the potential to oppress the Sunnis. And the Sunnis aren't having it.
How much insanity is there going to be? I hear that Diebold is providing the machines for the Iraqi election.
Oh, no, you're joking, right?
No.
You've got to be joking. No, but you know what?
Here.
It's possible.
Well, it's hilarious to me that, you know, any democracy that we tend to try to start, Afghanistan and now Iraq, is that, you know, the reflection of our elections and their elections, that, you know, if they can make it as difficult as possible for certain types of people to vote, and also as difficult as possible for any votes to be counted properly, then that's the way democracy functions at this point in time. So any election that happens, even the one in Afghanistan, though it was a tremendous thing that they voted for the first time. But, you know, who the hell knows?
Let me tell you something.
I mean, they were dropping pieces of paper into boxes, which I think is what we ought to go back to here.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, my daughter could probably do a better job of making ballots for the Iraqi election than Diebold could.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, Diebold would seem to me to be disgraced, shamed, and incapable, obviously, of producing machines that can actually do elections. But here, you know, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, and the Arab League have all talked about trying to delay these elections.
On the grounds of?
That the process isn't inclusive, that if the Sunnis don't participate, the elections are not valid.
Right.
You know, now, that's an arguable point at this juncture because nobody is telling the Sunnis not to do it, except, of course, some of the clerics.
Right.
You know, and there are all kinds of things going on over there, including apparently the execution of one guy who was pretty high up in the Sunni hierarchy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
For what?
He was the brother of somebody, isn't he?
And then there was a former police chief in Mosul has been arrested for allegedly allowing insurgents to take over police stations. It's still pretty chaotic over there. But across the way in Iran, it seems that they buckled, or at least they said they have.
They said they have. I'm not completely buying it.
I don't think Powell is either.
No. Now, what they've done is essentially say, okay, you all want us to halt our uranium enrichment because everybody's afraid that they're going to use it to develop an atomic bomb. Well, they said now that they have halted and frozen all uranium enrichment programs.
Mm-hmm.
However, I find it interesting because for the Iranians, it seems like developing some kind of nuclear capacity is the equivalent of a Texan having a Cadillac with bullhorns on it. It's a matter of pride for them.
Right, and there's no integrity to this claim in the eyes of some people because they've done this secretively before.
Yeah.
And the real threat is that, you know, obviously, you know, there aren't enough American troops to take this on, but, you know, there's talk of
them, sanctions.
Of sanctions and also the Americans looking the other way and let, you know, Israel take it out.
Well, yeah, and see, the other side of this is that the European Union has actually been working to try and broker this whole thing.
Right.
So there seems to be a back and forth between the European Union's position on this and the Americans' position on this. But see, Mark, the biggest issue here, the largest question, is who decides who is capable and valid in terms of being able to handle nuclear material? Is it going to be the United States? Is it the UN?
I'm going to make the decision right now.
There you go.
I don't think anybody should have them. It would just be nicer.
Well, but then that would mean we'd have to disarm.
Right.
And the Americans ain't giving up, not even a nuclear
disarm.
Reactor.
I'm throwing away my nuclear weapon. I'm throwing it away today.
Me too. Okay. When we come back, in addition to, there was somebody came by named Ignacio.
Go see.
All right, yeah, he's got the Palm Pilot. But the Peanut Diaries are coming up, and this is a very special Thanksgiving week Peanut Diary. And the Liberal Agenda, all here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Well, Mr. Quinn, I have your loan application here. I see you want to finance one of our big screen TVs.
Oh, yeah, I love that TV.
Of course you do. The thing is, your credit report has a few hiccups or bumps.
Well, bumps, yes.
What we call red flags or warnings.
You see, I think...
Actually, you have huge gaping chasms of incredibly bad decision-making.
Okay, I can explain.
I mean monumental credit mistakes. I mean, phenomenally ridiculous, laughable, really. I mean, Mr. Quinn... I gotta frame this one.
Before you go for a loan, be prepared with Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for just $14.95. It's the first step to getting the things you want. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Let's listen in on the Alcu Kitchen, where Larry, Cheryl, Butch, and John are preparing the Alcu Thanksgiving Feast.
If we time it right, the turkey will be done right after my show. You guys can carve it up.
Oh, that's a great deal.
What do you do with this bag of squishy stuff inside the turkey roll?
You just stick your hand right in there. Pull it out. That's sort of stuffing.
How heavy is this thing anyway?
Share your Thanksgiving Day drive with Alcu in the Morning and John McMullen.
Pizza, anyone?
Happy Thanksgiving from America's gay radio station, Sirius Alcu 149.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Suzanne's account has been debited without her permission. I'll help her fix this after this.
Money, money, money.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Suzanne noticed something about our checking account.
I noticed a bank draft that was taken out for $139. I called my bank. It was a pharmacycards.com. I called the company, and she said that a pharmacy card was sent to us. We had 5 days to return it. Since we didn't return it, they debited our account.
How did they get your account?
She said, well, they must have gotten it from one of their business partners.
Well, tell her you're going to sue her for $10 million unless the money is in the account within 24 hours because you're a thief, and I'm getting ready to turn you over to the Federal Trade Commission. Jump all over them. But, yeah, I mean, you just need to jump their case and probably have the bank put a stop payment on it because of fraud.
Bank said that there's nothing they can do. They can't flag my account.
Well, tell them we're going to close your account then. Bank someplace else if you guys can't do anything about it. It needs to just be a block put on your account for this company. That's what you've got to go to.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
And we go live now to Andy in the Air and our traffic chopper with today's traffic report.
Thanks, Todd. Traffic is moving smoothly eastbound on Route 1. No delays there. Moderate congestion at exit 17 northbound on the parkway. Expect a 15-minute delay. And there are heavy, heavy delays on the southbound thruway between exit 2 and exit 8 near the shopping center.
Can you see what's going on down there, Andy?
Well, there looks to be an overturned, oversized belly in the right lane. Extremely large, blocking all traffic.
I'm sorry. I don't have a great connection here. Did you say belly?
That's right, Todd, and a rather large one at that. It looks as if someone lost it from walking across the shopping center parking lot to the stores.
Well, there you have it. Heavy congestion due to a heavy belly. Stay tuned for another belly update at the top of the hour.
Small step number 43. Park further from the store and walk. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Are you in the car right now with your kids? Sounds like the perfect time to ask them about the drug ecstasy. Go on, ask them. You have time right now to ask them. Think there's a better time? Maybe when you can sit down and have the talk? Aren't you sitting right now? The time to have the talk is right now. Lock the doors if you have to, because they're sitting right there. Go on, ask your kids about ecstasy. Right now. If you don't do it now, do you think you ever will? Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to askyourkidsabouti.com.
Four past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. This is Air America Radio. Some guy named Ignacio just gave us
Ignacio!
Oh, I don't want to get in trouble, man.
That's right, because he'll come back.
You know, Ramon changed his name to Ray Ray. This guy, Ignacio, I don't know where Ramon is. He could be dead. He could be in Colombia still. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But we were delivered Donald Rumsfeld's Palm Pilot, so here's the Rumsfeld's schedule for today. 0600, wake up, sweet perimeter of mattress for snipers. 0630, toilet, wipe with 9/11 commission report. 0800, talk to new secretary of the army, see if we can streamline an army of one to an army of one half. 0900, talk president out of supporting intelligence overhaul bill. Tell him this is exactly the kind of thing your father would do. 1100, continue running government with Cheney. Note, stay out of public eye. Don't want to kill Junior's mandate. 1300, dream up ideas for expensive new weapon systems. Note, reread Inside the Third Reich.
Ooh.
Reich.
Ooh.
1400, stock office bunker with 4-year supply of water, canned food, and pinups. Note, they won't get me like they got Powell. 2200, private strategy session in White House Situation Room. Note, if we mass troops in Catalina, We can make an amphibious assault on Santa Monica. We can take L.A. before Christmas. That's the plan. So, hey, wait a minute. What time is it? Riley, do you know what time it is?
Nah, man, what time is it?
It's peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
Uh-oh.
Peanut butter jelly time.
Well, if that's what time it is, it means that our associate producer, Brendan P.W. McDonald's in the studio. As some of our listeners know, a life-threatening allergy had kept P.W. from eating peanuts until about a month ago.
Yep.
Free from his peanut ailment, he's exploring the magical world of peanuts, and right now he joins us to bring us hope, adventure, and the latest entry of the Peanut Diaries.
Hello, gents.
What's up, Brendan? What do you got? You've got
Look at this. Like a smorgasbord in front of us here.
A buffet in front of you.
Well, thanks to Riley, we all got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yes,
Thank you very much, Mark Riley. What's on this? This is a Polliner All Fruit.
Polliner All Fruit and ShopRite Peanut Butter.
ShopRite Peanut Butter. That's
Can I just share my mother? Made peanut butter and jelly. My mother couldn't even handle peanut butter and jelly sandwich. White bread, too much Welch's grape jelly, and peanut butter. And by the time I got it to school, the whole thing was soaked.
You need the ratio.
Yeah.
That's what I'm learning in the few months that
I've been
doing
on the air.
Oh, that's what's going on. Everybody loves that. Everybody loves that at home. You love this. Especially peanut butter.
I can't eat the sandwich today.
All right. Well, can you eat a cookie? Because
I might do.
Yeah, my fiance Dawn made these peanut butter cookies with Hershey Kisses in the top.
Oh, my God.
Save me one, man.
You can have one, Riley.
Oh,
take it right there.
Thank you.
Kalo. Hey,
give me the one that imploded.
Yeah, this one kind of broke, so you can eat this like piece by piece and feel less fat.
I do that sometimes when I'm putting a bag. I just break apart.
Tastes great. Yeah. Less filling.
So, but we're only eating desserts here.
Right.
Well, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich isn't really dessert, but it just is tasty and sweet. And you feel like it. I'm realizing, though, with as the holidays approach us,
mm-hmm.
there are lots of great things that I can do with peanuts.
That's so good.
Oh, yeah.
What is that about?
It's about peanut butter, man. That's why we're here. That's the Peanut Diaries.
But, dude, I make cookies, but this cookie's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
How'd she pull that off? She just made them, man.
She was psyched to do the peanut cooking,
She found the recipe and she just did it?
Yeah.
You better marry her quick, man.
Yeah, what's going to happen? People are going to hear that.
Where's the cookie lady?
I'm going after P.W.'s cookie-making woman.
That's right.
Well, I'm hoping that for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I get the traditional peanut butter pie.
Right.
Always in my family, we've never made those because they've been afraid that I would drop dead at the table.
Because of a sick child.
Yeah.
Let's not tease him. He's sick. Don't make a peanut butter pie. Brendan's got the thing.
I'm actually, though, going to insist that we do a lot of peanut-type stuff for the holiday this year. Because
peanut stuffing.
That's
peanut
great. I'm lobbying for peanuts in the turkey. No, just shove them right in, man. Just do the roasted nuts and crushed peanuts on the sweet potatoes.
Yeah, and peanuts. Sure.
That would be good.
Also, and cheese
we always make pumpkin bread, so put some nuts in that.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Broccoli with peanut sauce.
Yeah,
spinach and peanuts.
And I have to do this. I was telling you guys about this before, but let me just reiterate.
Mashed potatoes with peanuts.
Minced peanut pie.
Wait, no, mashed potatoes with peanuts might actually taste good. You drizzle some.
No, man.
You're going overboard.
No. Certain things you don't mix.
He's like addicted now. No, man. Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and eat peanuts. What do you mean? Don't look at me like I'm crazy. Just because I get up at 2 in the morning and eat peanuts doesn't mean I'm crazy. I like peanuts.
Well, listen, Mark, I have to do this.
Okay.
Because as I saw on CNN, we know we can rely on them.
For good
information. But, but I think it was Sanjay Gupta, who I don't consider as shady as the rest of them. he said that people, this was just last Sunday I saw this, that people with a peanut allergy have to continue, if they've been cured of the ailment, free from the ailment, they have to continue to eat it to build up the amino acids in their body. So if I stop, I'm screwed, man.
Yeah.
I could go back to the dark times when I couldn't eat any of this stuff.
Yeah, I could see you sweating and pale, going, what's the matter? I'm having a withdrawal. When you were on last time, you were talking about how, like, you know, the first time you were experimenting with peanuts, you had a syringe? Oh, just in case something, what was that?
That's an EpiPen. That's a shot of epinephrine that you had, slam it into your leg.
But why were you were sitting there like, you know, when you were, the first time you tried it.
It was like that scene at the end of The Deer Hunter.
You had a peanut butter sandwich, you had the pills, and you had
the telephone, the syringe, and it was like
breakfast at Elvis's.
None of it was fried, though. So, I have been to the hospital several times because of peanut relish.
You have other nut allergies. Too,
that is mostly because of the other nuts,
well,
which I'm still allergic. Still allergic to those. But I've wound up in an emergency room with asphyxiation because of just walnuts in like chicken or
people not telling you.
Right. And people have this same problem with peanuts.
Yeah.
And I realized last week I was talking about how I overcame this by tasting them slowly. I really shouldn't encourage people to do that.
Yeah.
Some people have this so sensitively that just the oils, it could knock them into anaphylactic shock.
Like people could actually go into a Chinese restaurant just because of the fine mist of peanut oil in the air, they could start breaking out.
Yeah, sometimes they have to be real careful about where they go.
Yeah.
Usually it helps to like consult your doctor before you start, you know, messing with stuff that you know you already know you're allergic to.
Right.
Even the little bit at a time thing. Brendan, of course, boldly went where no man would go before, just did it on his own.
He put on a helmet and went.
Yeah.
Well, and him at the breakfast table with a helmet and peanut butter. I'm going.
Yeah, right.
And you remind me with the Chinese food, one of the last things I'll bring up here is that if no one has experienced good Thai peanut chicken.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite like it. End their life right now because it was the most amazing food I've ever had.
We're on the 41st floor of this building. He's talking about somebody ending their life right now.
It was gooey, like it had peanut butter on it, but sweet, like they had done something, you know, with that, like caramelized sugar or
Did
something.
Did you have a saute? Is that what you had or you just had
No,
a
it was
chicken.
A plate of peanut chicken.
Man, that's
Whoa.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And were you scared at first?
No. I've crossed the line. This is it. We're going whole hog.
That's right. His name is Peanut McDonald. Yeah. No more PW.
And that's, I've noticed that the sweetness, that was like the one thing that put me over was like, I loved how sweet the stuff was. And that's what I'm doing all the time now is including peanuts with like something really sweet. Like take those Hershey Kisses that were on the top of those cookies and just dip them right in the peanut butter.
You ever tried, do you know that like raw peanuts, unroasted peanuts are kind of nasty? They're kind of weird. Have you tried those?
That's like out of the shell, you mean?
Well, not out of the shell, because most shells are roasted, but some people will sell raw peanuts, like out of the ground, and self-roast them. Those are a little weird.
Well, yeah, that's...
Come on, I'm just trying to think, maybe there's a purist angle that you can be, like, you get to this point where you're like...
That takes away the... That's like that raw foods movement that completely denies the idea of pleasure in eating. You know?
Most peanut flavor is roasted peanut flavor.
Yeah.
Almost all of it.
Yeah.
So what do we got going next week? Are you going to...
Well, come back from the holidays, and we'll see how the family, you know, corresponded with my requests for the all peanut Thanksgiving.
especially that mashed potatoes with peanuts.
But I'm in that adventurous mode, though. I'm going to take requests from, you know, the emailers and the listeners. You know, whatever they want me to eat, I'll eat it.
It's hilarious. So you're going to get home, it's going to be like one of those bars. There's going to be sawdust on the floor and like a barrel full of just fresh peanuts. And you get peanuts everywhere. On the Christmas tree, just peanut chains. And all right, man. Well, it was good. Can we go out on the song?
Yeah. Well, until next time, guys, just as Chico Marx has to say.
Peanuts!
43 past the hour.
We're going to be back with the liberal agenda. Judy Gold's coming later in the show. And I guess I'm going to eat a cookie. I'm breaking my
diet. There you go.
All right, it's Air America Radio. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Listening to Morning Sedition. It's not Marxism. It's Marxism. Mark Maron and Mark Riley every morning on Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who have reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 1-800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN. Once again, 800-921-BURN.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
The Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions.
Bring in the convertible, Bob.
The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now enjoying a nice hot Thanksgiving dinner. The Smiths are starving.
Great idea.
Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather. Sirius 150 to 159.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Son, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad.
It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends. And that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Uncensored.
Uncensored.
Uncut.
Uncut.
Satellite Fresh.
Satellite Fresh.
Serious. It's on. Serious.
Serious.
Entertainment that transforms your ride.
What was your name again, Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
Days guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next two cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
Yeah, yeah, okay. 49 past the hour, Mark Maron. It's me with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Right over there, I'm looking at him.
Where?
Right there, I
oh,
see
okay.
It, as I do every morning. We just sit here and we talk it up.
That's what we do.
Pashman, not Pashman, Son of Lewis and Linda Pashman. That's a whole other story. But Brendan Peter McDonald, I just see, you know, the end is not good for him. Like, I just see walking in here once, he's just covered and naked in peanut butter, running around going, yeah!
Yeah.
By
the way, you know, I know that we talk about heroes every now and then. Certainly John Kerry was a war hero. And I don't know whether we could make a hero out of a guy from Texas, because generally I'm not a big fan of people from Texas. But
yeah?
Nah, just generally.
There's been some pretty good guitar players out of Texas.
Yeah, I know, but
Stevie Ray Vaughan, the Winter
good,
Brothers, Jimmy Ray Vaughan,
good,
as well.
Horn players too. Judy Sempill, bunch of good jazz players come out of Texas.
Okay, where are we going with this?
Well, there is a guy out of Texas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
His name is Ronnie Earl.
Yeah.
He's the Travis County District Attorney.
Not the guitar player from the Boston area.
No.
Yeah.
Not Steve Earl. Not
no.
Jim Earl.
There's a Ronnie Earl, I believe. Ronnie Earl played with Roomful of Blues. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is the guy who's looking into the shenanigans of the associates of the inestimable.
He's the DA.
Tom DeLay.
Yeah.
Yes. He's the guy who's investigating Tom
DeLay. The DA
DeLay.
That's going to take DeLay down.
Yeah. Well, yeah. he's been getting some really crazy heat. The House of Representatives actually changed their rules so that DeLay could stay even if he was indicted.
The arrogance of that. That is right out of the gate, the monumental arrogance of that action. You know, I hope you're right. I hope hubris takes these guys down. I hope you're right when you say to me earlier today that these conservatives always have a tendency to overreach.
Yeah.
I really hope you're right because, you know, if they got to hit bottom, granted, they're going to take us all down with them,
yeah,
maybe people will wake the hell up.
Well, see, this is the problem. I mean, here's a guy, Ronnie Earl,
yeah,
who's a prosecutor whose reputation has been savaged by Tom DeLay and his supporters. Remember, Henry Bonilla called him what? A partisan crackpot of a district attorney. Other people have called him worse than that inside the state of Texas. Well, Ronnie Earl has struck back.
Mm-hmm.
In an op-ed page in today's New York Times, and for those of you who don't get the New York Times,
we'll put it on Pashman's Picks, can we?
We'll put it on Pashman's Picks.
Know, it's like I feel like I've been out of the loop. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, for those of you who don't know, has something on our website called Pashman's Picks, and we usually put the articles that we read here on the show. We're also trying to update the site with some of the new sound, because I know some of you were complaining about that. And now we're going to hit this. What do you got there, Riley?
Well, I want to read a couple of excerpts from this because I think it really is extraordinary the way he has responded to this.
Okay.
Okay, because he didn't respond in a partisan way. He's talked about the fact that, you know, congressional Republicans changed the rules that required an indicted leader to relinquish their post. And he goes on to say, yet no member of Congress has been indicted in the investigation, and none is a target. He's talking about the investigation he's conducting. Unless he or she has committed a crime, the grand jury will continue its work abiding by the rule of law. That law requires a grand jury of citizens, not the prosecutor, to determine whether probable cause exists to hold an accused person to answer for the accusation against him or her. Politicians in Congress are responsible for the leaders they choose. Their choices reflect their moral values.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a minute. The thinly veiled personal attacks, and I'm not reading it all word for word, but the thinly veiled personal attacks on me by Mr. DeLay's supporters in this case are no different from those in the cases of any of the 15 elected officials this office has prosecuted in my 27-year tenure. Most of these officials, 12 Democrats and 3 Republicans, have accused me of having political motives. What else are they going to say? For most of my tenure, the Democrats held the power in state government. Now Republicans do. Most crimes by elected officials involve the abuse of power. You have to have power before you can abuse it. There is no limit to what you can do if you have the power to change the rules. Congress may make its own rules, but the public makes the rule of law and depends for its peace on the enforcement of the law. Hypocrisy at the highest levels of government is toxic to the moral fiber that holds our communities together.
See, this is the unspoken moral decay.
Yes.
This is the moral decay that comes out of the conservative camp. It's not the moral decay that, you know, crackpot fanatical Christian right people are accusing, you know, homosexuals as having, are accusing, you know, people who teach evolution as having. This is the real deal here.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think is interesting about the implications of what you just read is that he's basically saying on some level that the people that put these people in the office have voted for a community of cheaters, of liars,
exactly,
of people that will do anything to suit their own needs and for greed, and that, you know, and they are the ones that are responsible. You know,
yes,
not just the politicians, but the people that put them in. And I used to think about that when we were coming up on this election, is that I think there's a lot of people in this country who say, like, you know, the hell with it. Who cares if they're cheating? They're getting away with it.
Yeah. And see, by framing this in a question against the question of moral values, Ronnie Earl is really calling into question, as you very correctly point out, the moral values of the community that elects people that will do this kind of thing, that will change these kind of rules, and will indulge in this kind of conduct. Tom DeLay has been throwing his weight around since he had weight. That's what he does. And the bottom line here is Ronnie Earl is questioning whether or not he went too far. Now, again, Tom DeLay has not been indicted. Ronnie Earl says that right off top. I haven't indicted any member of Congress yet.
Yeah, but what kind of guilty bastard would put those, you know, those things into place to protect himself?
Just in case.
You know, I mean, you might as well just say I'm guilty. But these guys, they think they get away with this stuff, and they think, you know, ultimately, you know, if history proves real and there is justice to history, you know, one of these guys, or I hope a few of them, are going to blow their own feet off. And the last paragraph,
read the last paragraph.
The open contempt for moral values by our elected officials has a corrosive effect. It is a sad day for law enforcement when Congress offers such poor leadership on moral values and ethical behavior. We are a moral people, and the first lesson of democracy is not to hold the public in contempt.
Very good point. Now, here's the other side of the equation. Ronnie Earl.
Didn't I just hold the public in a little bit of contempt?
Yeah, well, hey.
I'm not. It's not.
That's
I
right.
can do it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're exempt. But, you know, 2 points. One, he very, very correctly points out that it is a grand jury. Mm. A prosecutor didn't bring these charges. A grand jury is the one that is investigating and will eventually bring up the charges.
Right.
Certainly they will be led by the prosecutor. The chief judge in New York once said, you know, that a grand jury can indict a ham sandwich.
Sure.
You know, if that's what a prosecutor wants to do.
If that ham sandwich is guilty, he will be judged.
He will be judged and punished accordingly. But, I mean, in this instance, he is taking it straight to Tom DeLay, and it is the responsibility of progressives down there in Travis County, Texas,
mm-hmm.
to have his back.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, it is all our responsibilities to have this guy's back.
Well, I like the way that he came back to those from those accusations. Like, it's not political. It's reasonable justice. You know what I mean?
He's 12 Democrats, 3 Republicans.
And that was the only thing they had on him. And
yes.
His answer to it.
Yeah, he's answered to it, and he's done it really well.
I hope he goes down, because I can't stand that little bug-killing bastard. It's the arrogance of it all. You know what I mean? And these are the guys that are running our government now. And now all these, there's this whole new influx of the new conservatives, some of them way far to the right, and they're getting all the huge stuff.
Oh, we're going to get into that, too.
We're going to talk about that in the next hour, right?
Yes, because they're overreaching.
There's a liberal agenda. From the Streisand compound. Here you go. Number one, demand that the entire 9/11 commission be enacted into law, including the table of contents and the index. Two, organize union for UN hostage takers so they never again have to prematurely release another hostage without adequate health care. Three, since the grilled cheese sandwich with the image of the Virgin Mary sold on eBay for $28,000, try to auction off your potato knish. It looks like Danny Thomas. Womp womp. Danny Thomas, how low is this gone? Four, urge a ban on all professional basketball games until drinks can be cooled with non-harmful Nerf ice. Today's phrase is put in the conversation. You know that new video game about the JFK assassination? It's the Warren Commission all over, man. Gerald Ford's still trying to get in our heads, man. Don't you get it? I rushed it.
You rushed it. We're going to rush it. In the next hour, we've got Jody Schneider from Congressional Quarterly going to talk about the lame duck session of Congress. We've got the Dream Diary. We've got the Liberal Confessional, which means you on the phones, and a whole lot more here on Air America Radio.
You love the game. You love your team. And you love your friends and family. So to get home safely, you hand off your keys to a sober designated driver. America's all-star team of sports leagues, stadium service partners, brewers, broadcasters, and traffic safety experts thank the sober designated drivers who make sure you buckle up and get home safely. For more information on techniques for effective alcohol management, visit www.teamcoalition.org.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side is numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Uncensored,
uncensored,
uncut,
uncut,
satellite fresh,
satellite fresh.
Serious, it's on.
This
is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. British government says it has uncovered a plot to stage an Al-Qaeda-type attack on London. Details of the discovery are yet to be disclosed, but the opposition is quick to point out that it could be part of a ploy by the Blair government to instill fear in a bid to win another term. British Prime Minister Tony Blair faces re-election next year. He has taken a drubbing in the polls for his support of President Bush in the war in Iraq. Charges by the opposition sound similar to charges that are periodically raised here in the States, who have questioned the veracity of the warnings coming from Homeland Security and elsewhere. Latest CBS New York Times poll reveals that Americans are optimistic about the next 4 years under President Bush, but a good number of the nation's inhabitants are simply not feeling the Bush administration's plan for rewriting the tax code, reshaping Social Security, appoint conservative judges, and continuing the cuts in taxes. At the same time, the president continues to weather sharp criticism for his handling of the war in Iraq, this with a plurality now saying the invasion of Iraq was a mistake. The poll also found pervasive concern about what Americans view as the corrosive effect Hollywood and popular culture have on the nation's values and moral standards. President Bush is facing more pressure to get the Pentagon to fall in lockstep with those congressional efforts to pass an intelligence bill. Congressional figures from both sides of the aisle are now charging Bush with running defense for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who is apparently unalterably opposed to change in the structure of the Pentagon. Republican Connecticut Congressman Christopher Shays says the impasse of the intelligence measure is linked to a turf battle, and the folks in the armed forces don't want to give up the turf. Shays called Rumsfeld blatant in his opposition to the bill. Shays added that the defense secretary trashed the proposed legislation in a private meeting with lawmakers. The United Nations is investigating about 150 allegations of sexual abuse by U.N. civilian staff and soldiers in the Congo. One U.N. official says she has the proof all on videotape. Senior U.N. official Jane Hall Lute says there are a whole host of charges against those accused. They include pedophilia, rape, and prostitution. Senior official says the allegations have been around since the spring, but the organization failed to shine a spotlight on the problem until now. Government of Iran on Monday suspended sensitive nuclear activities that could be used to make a bomb in a move likely to thwart American efforts to report the Islamic Republic to the United Nations Security Council for possible sanctions. Bush administration wants Iran to face the sanctions, accusing the nation of trying to develop an atomic bomb under the veil of a nuclear power project. The European Union is calling on the Tehran government to stop sensitive activities in return for better ties. Oil-rich nation has categorically denied efforts to develop a nuclear arsenal and says it just wants to generate electricity. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gill.
Over the river and through the woods,
to grandmother's house you go.
On your turkey day drive,
we'll be on Illinois.
With the usual brilliant show. Over the river and through the woods,
there's no place we'd rather be.
On Thanksgiving Day,
Sirius 143.
Alex Bennett and Lynn Samuels doing what they do best. Their shows, of course.
Something like that.
Thanksgiving Day on Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 143.
This is Earth and Sky. Astrophysicists believe our sun was born floating in a sea of magnetism.
When you go to calculate how stars form, you've got to include gravity and turbulence and cosmic rays and magnetic fields, or you don't get the right answer.
That's Virginia Trimble, an astrophysicist at the University of California at Irvine. She's pondering the origin of magnetic fields in the universe. The magnetic field of a bar magnet causes iron filings to stick to it. In space, magnetic fields are thought to help remove some energy from the swirling clouds of gas and dust which form stars. Without these cosmic magnetic fields, the material in a star-forming cloud might never settle down into a ball and begin the nuclear reactions that make a star a star.
Some scientists believe that the vast cosmic magnetic fields in space started locally as seed magnetic fields. Other scientists think some more exotic process caused magnetism to fill the very early universe.
So there's a top-down and a bottom-up scenario. And I don't know which one is right, and I think in truth nobody really knows.
Under either scenario, small magnetic fields had to be amplified up to a higher intensity. Scientists are still trying to figure out how that happened. Our thanks to the National Science Foundation, where discoveries begin. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents.
with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kids. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, conspiracy theorists, crackpots, seekers of truth, warriors of reason, those of you with full dental coverage in this time of the big trouble, and of course, basters. Basters are important because this week is Thanksgiving. Baste it up.
Basters? Okay.
I don't baste turkeys. You gotta get, if you get a fresh turkey, you don't have to baste it. You know that? I learned this in Florida. Yeah. I usually go down to Florida to cook for 22 people because I like the cooking. And we get these fresh birds, man. These really fresh birds. And apparently if the bird is fresh enough, you don't have to baste it.
Really?
Nope, not at all. You just cook it. And you don't have to cook it as long as you think. Don't overcook those turkeys, people. Listen to me.
You know, I like mine cooked well.
Dude, yeah. What do you mean well? So it's
well,
dry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, there's nothing better for me than dry white turkey.
That's the worst.
No, dry, man. Can, no, dry white turkey with jelly cranberry sauce. That's what I like. I like it dry. I don't like gravy. I don't like any of that crap on top of it. I like cranberry sauce over here and dry white turkey over here.
You got some problems.
No, man. You ever seen the Blues Brothers? what's your name? Learned, like the dry white toast?
Dude, when I learned. Yeah, I know. I have my own weird thing. Sometimes I make sandwiches. I don't put condiments on them. You know,
yeah, there you
there's
go.
Cheese on them. I won't put any mustard or mayonnaise. But there's a way to make a turkey that you don't have to sacrifice the meat. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be dry. It can be moist.
No,
nice.
But see, I don't like moist meat. It's not about moisture for me.
All right.
Moisture all right. Is something for somebody else.
All right.
I like dry white meat.
No, but you're like, nobody likes dry. That's
no, no, no. I like dry white meat. But you ask anybody that knows me.
People try to fight that, Riley.
I know they fight it,
going
but that's
against
not me.
The grain.
I'm going against the grain, so be it.
You're standing
I like
up for something.
Dry,
crazy.
White turkey.
All right, I understand. All I know is my mother's planning on cooking, which, you know, you know, because I make this stuffing that is insane. This stuffing I make has got... It's got the breadcrumbs, it's got cream, it's got eggs, it's got soy, it's got onions, it's got dried apricots, dried apples, some prunes cut up.
Prunes?
Yeah, but don't make a big deal. No, no, no. They're just dried plums, all right? It really depends how you look at it, all right? Take it easy, fellas. Prunes or plums? All right, just let's relax.
Your mother has more than one bathroom in there?
Why do we have to go to Riley's house? I don't understand why we...
All
right, so... So, all right, look, so, yeah, all right, but it's a great stuffing. It's very rich. It's a beautiful, it's a very powerful stuffing.
Oh, by the way, I don't eat stuffing.
I add a little liver in there.
I don't eat stuffing.
You eat, okay, let me just get this straight. You got dry white meat at your table.
Yeah, that's
you got
right.
Some cranberry sauce
that's
on
right.
It. What else is on the plate?
Macaroni and cheese and broccoli and some rolls.
Oh, my
some
God.
Rolls, macaroni and cheese and broccoli?
That's it.
No stuffing?
No stuffing. I hate stuffing.
No mashed potatoes?
Nah, not really. The mac and cheese takes care of that.
What Thanksgiving world do you live in? I don't understand.
Riley's Thanksgiving world.
Riley's
world. It is
world.
An eternal Thanksgiving. I don't change my menu for Thanksgiving. I haven't changed my menu for Thanksgiving in 30 years.
So gravy is no easy thing. Either.
Gravy I hate.
Wait, dude. All right, we understand. I know I'm hitting the wall of Riley here, but there's a lot of people out there, believe me, a lot of our listeners are like, hey, you know, I like some moist white turkey and some gravy.
Yeah, I know. Well, let them have their moist white turkey. Let them have their dry white toast. Let them have their stuffing. They can have all of it.
I don't do that.
Where did Toes fall into that?
That's part of the Blues Brothers.
Oh, you just do this other thing. It's like, you go ahead and have your Thanksgiving with your pig's feet and
that's
your,
right, and your chitterlings.
And, yeah. But, yeah. No, my mother calls me up. She's like, you know, when I make gravy, I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to work. And my mother, because she doesn't eat anything, you know, with any fat in it whatsoever, when she makes anything with fat in it, there's no way she has no idea how to judge it. Do you know what I mean? It's like she doesn't know what it's going to taste like. She doesn't put it in her mouth. So she just, like, wing it. And I'm like, and she's like, should I just get the envelope with the gravy mix? Yeah, why don't you go ahead and, get the envelope. I feel bad because I set such a precedent down there, you know, with this. And I also have this, my mother and food is just, it's too insane. I had that moment yesterday where I come to work. I've got it. I'm obsessed. By the way, can I just say one thing? I went to the fish store yesterday. My guy at the fish store, Marino's Fish in Queens.
Yeah.
I'm not plugging them, but, you know, if you live in Queens.
Marino's Fish.
They're nice
Queens.
Guys. He says to me, he says, first of all, he brings to light a story that we're going to talk about in a minute. But secondly, what do you know about oil of oregano? You know any folk remedies?
Oil of oregano?
Dig this. The dude said he was coughing for like weeks, for like 5 weeks, took some oil of oregano, which you get at health food stores. It went away overnight.
Really?
Write it down. Oil of oregano.
Oil of oregano.
You apparently put like 6 drops under your tongue in the morning, 4 drops in the middle of the day, and 6 drops later. And the guy at the guitar store down the street, the Greek guy at the guitar store, told him about this. I'm just passing along a little folk medicine.
Wow.
And then he told me about this story, which I was mad that we didn't get to talk about yesterday. In Deer County, this is in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
All right, this is some heavy stuff. It's sad, but I'll tell you know, there's something percolating under the surface of this country. There's this sort of, I guess the holidays bring it out, but also the economy is going to bring it out.
Yeah.
You know, the bottoming out of the entire country is going to bring it out. But this guy is up in a tree. Apparently how this unfolds is this guy, Vang. I guess his name's Chai Sua Vang.
Chai Vang, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there's a, I believe that he's from
Minnesota, St. Paul.
He's from Minnesota, but there's a something about a Laotian community there. Here's how the story goes, is that these cats go to their place where they put up their little deer posts, you know, those things you put up in the tree,
yeah,
those lifts, to sit there and wait for deer to come. And they get to their posts where they've built them, and this guy's in it, right? So this guy, you know, they say, could you get down? You're trespassing. We built those posts. We want to kill some animals from up there because that's where we kill animals from. And this guy apparently gets down, and they're about to climb up into their post. He walks a few yards, turns around, and blasts them both.
Opens fire, yeah.
He blasts them both. Now, this is like, you know, I don't imagine it, you know, it's hard to even make jokes about, but, you know, it's a hunting is dangerous in and of itself, but this guy just snapped,
yeah.
You know, and then he went and he shot a couple other people.
So I've never been, well, never mind.
He stopped short, from putting the guys on his car, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
But it's still like, you know, people with guns, you know, he just popped. What is that about?
It's about keeping guns out of the hands of people who pop. Really, in the end, that's what it's about. Everybody talks about how responsible hunters are, what wonderful, you know, how great it is to shoot the neck off a squirrel at 150 yards. All the rest of that, I got no use for it. I got no time for it. They shouldn't be hunting.
I've never heard anybody say that it's great to take a neck off a squirrel at 150 yards. Ever. I've never, not in any folklore. Maybe that's in the world where,
you ever
they,
been to Atlanta?
Where they eat white toast on Thanksgiving.
That's right.
In the world where people like dry turkey, they say, I want to take the neck off a squirrel at 150 miles an hour.
No, 150 yards.
150 yards.
Yes.
With a bullet that's going hundreds of miles an hour.
Hundreds of miles an hour. 150 yards, longer than a football field.
So there's always hunting accidents, but this was no accident. This guy,
no!
Like, it's one of those situations where I'm sure it was like, you know, maybe we should just leave him up there until he shoots something, you know? Oh, man. I didn't mean to bum us all out.
Well, hey, I mean, it's a tragic story, actually, and I can't figure out why they haven't filed any charges against him.
But it just happened. I think people are probably just reeling and they're upset, and it's like it's a horrendous situation wherever that in Wisconsin there.
So they get over their grief and then they arraign him. Is that the idea?
No, something will happen. But the guy's clearly out of his nut. All right, 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. You know, what's going on with your Thanksgiving? Are you a hunter? Where, what do you think of Riley's? What, do you like dry turkey? What is this?
I love dry turkey, man. I don't care if anybody else
likes it. Where you going for Thanksgiving. Tell me what I should make for dessert, will you? It's 866-303-2270. I'm bringing a dish. I'm thinking about bringing Indian pudding. You ever had it? 14 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Join the Morning Sedition. Call 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000-plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Let's listen in on the Alcue Kitchen, where Larry, Cheryl, Butch, and John are preparing the Alcue Thanksgiving Feast.
If we time it right, the turkey will be done right after my show. You guys can carve it up.
Oh, that's a great deal.
What do you do with this bag of squishy stuff inside the turkey, though?
You just stick your hand right in there. Pull it out. That's what it's stuffing.
How heavy is this thing, anyway?
Share your Thanksgiving Day drive with Alcue in the Morning and John McMullen.
Pizza, anyone?
Happy Thanksgiving from America's gay radio station, Sirius Alcue 149.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. and I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving out 2 indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months,
just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Yeah, 866-303-2270 is our number. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. The guy was Laotian. I can't pronounce that right. Laotian. And he's from a province that is very rural, and they, you know, they don't have, you know, in the article it says that, you know, rules of etiquette on American hunting passed from generation to generation have proved unfamiliar to many of the Hmong, which are the tribe he's from. Like, I got to be honest with you. I think that, you know, tribal differences was the least of this guy's problems at the moment he started shooting people. All right, here we go. This is my dream diary from last night, which is weird. You know, what's interesting about this one is that I don't know anything about sports. Okay. But apparently in the great collective unconscious that I was tapped into, I'm an NBA power forward, 6'8", arms of steel, and I'm a complete a-hole. I got my own sneaker, the Marin Mangler, and my homophobic, misogynistic rap album is climbing the charts. I'm so real, I scare myself. Ben Wallace is driving hard to the hoop, so I foul him. Okay, actually, I hacked him. So Ben gets pissed and shoves me like the little girl that he is. So all my teammates get off the bench, and people start yelling and pushing. A lot of disrespectful things are said about a lot of people's mothers. So I'm lying on the scorer's table trying to stay out of it. And then some douchebag fan throws a cup of ice at me. Right? At me, a professional athlete, a role model, the backbone of American democracy. At me, who makes $14 million a year only. Okay? That ain't much for the important work I do. So I jump over the scorer's table and I start swinging at anyone near me. There's a chance that if I could cold cock everyone in my path, I might actually hit the person that threw the cup at me. I find an 80-year-old woman clearly smirking at me, so I punch her in the face, crushing her big stupid glasses. Not so funny now, is it, huh? You want some more? And then I go to work on her 7-year-old grandkid who's disrespecting me by crying and hugging her Powerpuff Girls doll. Bam! Welcome to my elbow. This is my house, kid. 2 other civilians are trying to deprive me of my living, so me and my teammates held them down while I pummel them with a folding chair. They're screaming, "We only wanted to watch you play! We're your biggest fans!" Well, screw that. And just because those kids were in wheelchairs doesn't give them a license to take food out of my mouth. Just because some loser paid $60 for tickets doesn't mean they can just sit there and safely watch me play. What do they think this is, a game? I pull a .38 out of my waistband. Somebody might throw a hot dog or even a pretzel. And then it's every man for himself. I woke up and my bed was filled with retired jerseys.
Ooh.
Hey, buddy, Cole in Missouri, listening to XM. How are you? Good morning.
Hey, Cole.
What's going on, Mark and Mark?
I'm all right.
Man, I'd like to give you, I tried to call, get in the other night. I wanted to give you, it was the best day to call, but I want to give you greetings from the Midwest, the land of abundant public bathrooms.
All right.
You know what? You talk about him being in New York and you try to justify using a bathroom like, hey, man, you saw me here last week, right? You know, I come here.
Yeah, right.
In the Midwest, you're like, you kind of feel guilty. Like, you use a bathroom, you're like, you just almost want to confess to one of the people to work. They're like, you know, I'm not going to buy anything. You know, okay. You know, someone, you know, you feel weird, you know? You're like, just Barnes & Noble's and Walmart Supercenter's vacant as far as the eye can see, and you can just walk in and walk out.
Oh, nice.
You
guys,
wow. Just goods, you know, but.
You're very excited about this.
This is crazy. I was listening about Mark's story about taking the neck out of a squirrel.
At 150
yards. And it's the funniest thing because I was reading an issue of Missouri Conservationist,
mm-hmm.
And there was a story about a guy, and it was like, not to make out the guy out to be a gun nut, he was talking about hunting with his son and taking out squirrel heads at, like, I don't know, 30, 50 yards.
So wait, let me get this right.
I don't subscribe to that magazine. I just want you to know that.
So this is a conservationist magazine?
Well, no, this is the Missouri Conservationist. It's like you pay $5 a century or something, and you get it for free forever. Oh. And you pay for it, and it's got great pictures, and, you know, it's Hunter Pro, you know, it's Gun Pro and all of that. But they talked about shooting squirrels, and, I mean, that just killed me when Mark told that. Mark had me dying. He made me just in your Mark Riley in your honor. I'm gonna for this Thanksgiving. I'm gonna get some turkey.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna make sure to put oil or something just awful all over it. And I'm gonna put not. I was gonna make a mayonnaise sandwich, but I was gonna use, of course, like I gotta use Miracle Whip.
Yeah.
Miracle Whip, the tangy zip.
Yeah.
You can just put it all over it. That's just for you.
Okay. Oh,
thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Cole.
Hey, real quick. Hey, oil of oregano.
Yeah.
Hey, this is important. Seriously, conspiracy theory for you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, you want a conspiracy theory? I'm a conspiracist, okay? I appreciate that greeting in the show now because I feel part of the inner circle now. But hey, oil of oregano, seriously.
Okay.
Anything that the drug companies cannot patent is of no use to them. There's all kinds of great natural remedies. I won't go there tonight, but hey, guys, it's like you can't patent it. It's like it's not profitable to them. There's these million. I mean, they actually like synthesize compounds that are like occur naturally just so they can get the patent on it.
Of course.
You know, just so they can actually make the profit. Without the profit, they don't care. So.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Cole. And it's a good point to talk about because, like, you know, a lot of these, but the problem is some medications don't work. But this one, you know, some not medication, but some, you know, homeopathic remedies or some natural remedies. I mean, yeah, you can take them and you might have some success. I've found some success with some supplements, but this guy was like, you know, the guy, the fish guy, he was
dude,
this is it. It went away overnight, man.
It probably did. Now, not everybody's built the same way, but he's probably right.
Yeah, and you got to be careful with natural remedies, especially if it's raw. Like if you're making the teas yourself or something, because you can't overdo it. I had a really bad bad couple of days with something called Cascara Sagrada, I think it was called, and I'm not even going to go into it. No, Noel, how are you, Noel?
Noel, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
What's up?
Oh, I just wanted to make the comment that you're not alone with the unusual Thanksgiving.
Do you like dry turkey?
Repast. No, actually, it's my husband. He likes his turkey very plain, little cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
That way he would have macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
Unlike you, he does like his mashed potatoes also, and he likes his dressing, but he likes it dry. Put it in the oven, take all the moisture out of it until it's crispy, almost burnt.
Okay.
Wow. See, I'm not alone.
You got a friend in Florida, Riley.
All right, Noel. Thank you, Noel.
Very nice to
talk
to you.
We weren't married once, were we? No, we're just talking about our current husband.
Oh, dude, so Mike in Columbia, this is getting, this is all about Thanksgiving. What's up, Mike? Happy Thanksgiving.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
You ever get sick of being asked that 20 times an hour?
What, how you doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I no one asked me 20 times an hour, but
the state motto of New Jersey. What's wrong with you?
Maybe next time, Mike, when someone asks you, you go, "Quit asking me that."
Yeah, right.
What's on your mind, buddy?
I wanted to talk to you about my mother and one of her favorite Thanksgiving horror concoctions. and my mother, who is a very interesting study in human behavior.
Yeah.
She used to be a great cook.
Yeah.
But her cooking skills have slowly declined.
Yeah.
But her weight's gone up. It's an amazing thing.
Okay.
But she makes this stuff, and I wonder if anyone else has ever heard of it. Ambrosia salad.
Is that with the whipped cream?
It's
like a white salad with like canned fruit or something.
No. Maybe hers is different. She makes it with lime green Jell-O, carrots.
Oh, you know what? I know people who've done this. Yeah.
I like that he hangs on every beat like it's awful. Like lime green Jell-O, and I'm just hearing his head, Mike, going, ugh. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call, Mike. I've heard that before.
Yeah. I hate Jell-O, but yeah, I have heard of it before.
It's
with
awful.
The carrots and the, yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah, it is.
Carrots and Jell-O, and it's like the string, the little shredded carrots on top. I know what it's happening. What's going on?
Wow.
Isn't that nice? We got Judy Gold coming up. We've got Jody Schneider.
Yeah, we got Jody Schneider. And let me see. We got something else. Oh, the liberal confessional and
nice.
The phone call from our audience.
Yes, of course.
When we continue on Air America Radio.
Yay.
Morning Edition on Air America Radio.
Are you sick and tired of paying outrageous taxes each year? 2004 is almost over. You don't have to be a business owner to save thousands of dollars on your 04 taxes starting now. Check out Incorporating You. Find out how easy it is to incorporate. Getting started is as easy as a phone call to 800-924-4977. Incorporating is the true secret to financial success.
Hi, this is Ray Reynolds. I've designed the blueprint of success that thousands of entrepreneurs, investors, and business professionals use to save money on taxes, protect their assets, even start a whole new credit file. I will show you how to get $25,000 to $1 million in corporate credit, regardless of your credit history.
Don't wait. Take advantage of this year-end tax special. Call Incorporating You today at 1-800-924-4977. And for only $199, be on your way to 04 tax savings and qualify for $25,000 in corporate credit. Don't give it up to the IRS again this year. Call Incorporating You now at 1-800-924-4977. That's 1-800-924-4977.
You're listening to Movin' Easy, Sirius 4.
Hello?
Look, little elves!
Listen, I'm kind of on the air right now, if you don't mind.
Get his leg!
Buddy, we're taking over Movin' Easy Sirius 4. We won't break anything, and I promise. We'll have it back as good as new right after Christmas. Okay, guys, hit it. I always wanted to do this. Catch the spirit of the season 24-7, starting Thanksgiving, wherever you are, on Sirius Holiday 4.
This is Earth and Sky with a listener's question.
She writes, why don't I see any stars in pictures taken from the space shuttle or the surface of the moon? It seems like the stars and planets as seen from outer space would be spectacular.
The astronauts' pictures are mostly of objects brightly lit by sunlight, so they need only a short exposure time, in most cases too short to capture the image of a star. Also, their pictures are probably processed deliberately just to bring out objects in the foreground. So again, the stars go unrecorded.
So would the stars be spectacular as seen from outer space? The Earth's atmosphere absorbs only about 10 to 15% of incoming optical light. So the view out the window of the space shuttle, or that from the surface of the moon, wouldn't look too different from what you could see from a dark country location. One difference would stem from the fact that Earth's atmosphere causes the stars to twinkle. From the shuttle or the lunar surface, you'd see the stars as perfectly steady and untwinkling.
People often ask if you could see stars with the eye alone during the day from the surface of the moon. The answer is yes, because the moon doesn't have an atmosphere. Stars are visible from the moon's day side, even at lunar high noon. That's our show for today. To ask your Earth or Sky question, visit our website at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky.
Sirius Radio.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an optimist.
A what?
An optimist. My dad is one, and he says optimists help kids. He says they have all sorts of activities and programs for kids. Things that help kids feel good about themselves. Dad says they have sports programs, safety programs, and things that are just fun. So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I kind of wanted to be a rock star, but now I think I might want to be an optimist, too.
Racing thoughts. Horrible images crept through my mind. I thought I was seeing the devil and kept asking my friends if I was dead. It felt like I was having a heart attack. When we got to the hospital, I was committed to the psychiatric ward. I spent the next 14 days there.
17-year-old Lynn Smith had always heard ecstasy was the harmless and happy drug, which is only true if she'd never used it. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
The Consultant Pharmacist is your own personal healthcare consultant. You'll find them in nursing homes, other long-term care settings, and in your community, anywhere there's a need for high-level medication management. But Consultant Pharmacy is more than just managing medications. It's about helping people live better and longer lives. This message brought to you by the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists.
Serious. And doggone it, people like me. Hi, I'm Stuart Smalley, and on November 24th, day before Thanksgiving, I'm going to do a special Thanksgiving holiday show filling in for Al Franken, who is terrific, by the way. I just think he's the best. So, tune in November 24th, noon to 3, here on Air America Radio.
Past the hour, I am Mark Maron. That is Mark Riley.
Yes, it is.
We are here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Yes,
how's that grab you, man? So we got some good Thanksgiving. We've got some good Thanksgiving calls.
Yeah, we did. And, yeah. You know, I don't expect everyone to agree with my dry white turkey stuff, but that's just me.
Some other guy in Florida likes it all burnt up.
Yeah, well, that was the stuffing, man. I don't eat stuffing. I've never liked it. You got to understand, my late mother, rest her soul, was not a great cook.
Yeah.
So as a result, there's certain things that I guess I don't like because she didn't do them well.
My living mother, not a great cook.
She's probably listening. That's the worst part.
She knows that. She's like proud of it. She wears it as a badge of courage. It's like, what do you call it? An honor?
Yeah.
An honor badge.
A badge of courage.
Right now, let's talk to somebody who knows about this, intelligence reform bill. Joining us now on the phone, the economic and finance editor at Congressional Quarterly. She's talking to us from D.C. Jody Schneider, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me ask you a question about this intelligence reform bill. Are Hunter and Sensenbrenner, are they just sort of like, you know, are they standing, is this all about protecting Rumsfeld, I guess, is the idea I'm trying to get at?
Well, I think it's partly that, but Hunter has been saying this for months. He has only said he will only budge from his position if there's an explicit chain of command language in the final bill. He's worried that basically the exclusive authorities that would be given to this new director of intelligence, or what we're sort of calling the NID, National Intelligence Director, would basically hurt NID. Isn't that great? They're so clever up there.
Yeah, really. Brilliant.
That would disrupt the chain of command. And they say that this is key to providing intelligence to the troops in the field. And it seems to be, in his case, it is sort of a policy and a principle decision. The problem is that it's very hard to negotiate, to compromise from that position, and that's what led to the breakdown in the compromise, the ability to pass this on the floor on Saturday.
So you're saying, but let me just understand, so if the Defense Department had to defer to an outside source, that would compromise the intelligence. That's his opinion.
Yes.
I get it. Okay. So, and what about the other cat, Sensenbrenner?
Well, I think other folks were kind of willing to go along with some compromise, but Hunter really was the one who was stuck. Sensenbrenner led opposition to the language on national driver's license requirements, which was another sticking point, which may sound silly in an intelligence bill, but basically the Senate bill called on states to submit plans to the Transportation Department to meet these national driver's license requirements. House opponents wanted to prohibit states from giving licenses to illegal immigrants, saying, well, you know, here we have an immigration problem. Sensenbrenner was concerned. He was arguing that the driver's license requirements are essential to keeping valid identification out of the hands of terrorists or would-be terrorists.
Jody Schneider, you mentioned earlier a chain of command. Is it a chain of command we're talking about here, or is it a train of finance? I mean, isn't part of the argument against the NID the fact that there would be significant funding taken from the Department of Defense?
Right, and that is a concern of some folks, and oversight of their own funding is a big issue in this. That doesn't appear to be Hunter's making kind of a broader argument in this, but certainly that is the concern of some, and that is, that's a reality in this. That's what would happen. That's one of the reasons that the 9/11 Commission wanted it. They thought that there really should be oversight and budgetary oversight given to somebody else.
But let's be real about this. The president seems to have been able to play both sides against the middle here. On the one hand, he's sorry the bill didn't pass. On the other hand, isn't he kind of running interference for his boy Rumsfeld here?
Yeah, he's not pushing for it. Now they've said that they will come back. They're considering coming back the week of December 6th, probably around December 7th. However, that is not going to happen realistically unless the White House between now and then basically pushes them and says, you need to come back and do this.
No chance.
And so unless the White House does that, they're not coming back. And they even said so themselves.
Well, what are the chances that the White House will actually do that?
Very slim. You have to remember that there was, you know, the 9/11 commission and the hullabaloo surrounding that was in the headlines months ago. Now that sort of seems to have faded from the picture, and it was not an issue in the election.
Mm-hmm.
So the newly emboldened White House coming out of its victory is thinking, do we need this? Not really.
Now, Jody Schneider, switching gears for a quick second, I guess those of us who follow politics know a little bit about these omnibus spending bills that get passed at the end of congressional sessions. This one passed 3,000 pages, $388 billion, and one very bizarre provision about people having access to folks' tax returns. How did that happen?
Well, this is what happens. The final hours, basically this was filed after midnight on Saturday morning. All week long they're going to file it. They're going to file the omnibus. It's actually a conference report between the House and the Senate. And the conference report got filed in the wee hours of Saturday morning, and the House members were on the floor at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday voting for this. About noon, a staffer for Kent Conrad from North Dakota, a senator, finds that there is this very, very strange little provision in the bill. And basically the House has already approved it at that point. They've already adopted the conference report, but the Senate has not. And so that became a sticking point rather than some of the other language. I mean, there were some other, you know, controversial provisions in there. But basically at the last minute, they needed to do something about this very strange language in this IRS language in the bill.
Do when they slip clauses into bills, what do they think? People, no one's going to see it? Do people not read the whole thing?
They were almost right, apparently.
Well, yeah, this one almost didn't get caught. Now, there is some indication that this was not sort of intentional, that this wasn't, it's not like the abortion language, which obviously they meant to go in there, and with an omnibus appropriations bill, it's a conference report, you vote up or down. You don't amend this thing. It's very hard to really strip language.
Mm-hmm.
You vote for it or you don't vote for it. And that was the problem the opponents of the abortion language have. They either had to kill the bill, they had to vote against it, and they would have shut the government down because they were operating under a continuing resolution to fund the operations of the government that expired on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
So they were really in a tight spot. If they had enough votes, and they never would have had enough votes in the House, but in the Senate, they possibly could have had enough votes for a filibuster, but then they would have been accused of shutting the government down, which is just what the people who wrote the language and putting it in an omnibus intended, that they were basically forcing people to vote for this. This other language appears to have gotten in there. We're still not entirely sure how it happened, but by accident. Basically, what it would do is it would allow the chairman of the House and Senate Appropriations Committee or their staff to view taxpayers' tax returns, individual tax returns, without penalty for disclosing the confidential data.
Okay.
And they say that it was put in there basically to deal with some procedural kinds of information, that this really wasn't a, you know, snooping kind of thing.
Right.
And Ernest Istook, whose office did put the language in there yesterday, was all over the place denying it, saying, I didn't write it, I didn't approve it, I wasn't even consulted.
All right.
Then it was drafted by the IRS, so their staff presumed it was okay. Kind of denials all over the place.
So it just got in there by
myself.
Yeah. But, Jody Schneider, thanks for joining us.
We appreciate it, Jody.
Great talking to you. That was Jody Schneider from she's the finance and economics editor at Congressional Quarterly.
Wow, I wish I could make stuff appear in documents like that.
Yeah, we're going to take some calls for the your liberal confessions. I'm going to do right now, 866-303-2270, because now, you know, Mark Riley, sometimes it's not easy being a liberal. We all stray from the straight and narrow from time to time. So when I need to unburden myself, I step into the morning sedition confessional. So bless me, Brother Riley, for I have sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Well, let me tell you, on Thursday will be Thanksgiving, and I'm feeling, you know, very thankful.
Of course! Thanksgiving is the time for us to reflect and think about what we're thankful for.
Yeah, I was about to say that I feel thankful that I have the day off. Okay, but that's all I'm thankful for, you understand? I don't want to expand any energy expressing my gratitude for anything. I just want to eat turkey, stuffing, pie, and then nap.
Well, time at home and away from work is perfect for reflecting and giving thanks.
Yeah. But reflecting and giving thanks is going to take too much out of me. In order to give thanks, I'm going to have to start with, you know, Bush was reelected, but I'd like to give thanks for blah, blah, blah. So if I want to arrive at the wonderful land of gratitude, I have to drive through the neighborhood if Bush was reelected. But, do you understand? I don't want to go through one place to get to the other place, you dig?
Still, in the midst of the joy of Thanksgiving, you just might find yourself feeling thankful.
Dude, I don't even know what the story of Thanksgiving is. I know there were Indians involved, corn, and eventually things went very bad. That's all I know. Anyways, they got my $800 at the blackjack table at Foxwoods. All right, now, this year, if things are going to go according to plan, I intend to be so medicated on tryptophan that I'm going to look like Chet Baker after an Amsterdam heroin binge.
So that's your plan, to block out the world with comfort food?
Exactly. I feel guilty about it, but hopefully I'll be able to smother that guilt in gravy.
Well, Mark, my son, while you're numbing yourself to the pain of the world, I'll be giving thanks for all that life is and all that it can be. But don't worry, I'll save you some leftovers.
Uh-huh.
Now go forth and sin no more.
You're going to save me some dry turkey?
Amen.
Some macaroni and cheese?
Yeah.
And some white toast? 866-303-2270.
Call and confess.
What do you got? What do you got that's eating at your conscience? 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning's Edition.
Call us at 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270. Morning's Edition
on Air America Radio.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
So I got the hint.
What hint?
About my problem.
Believe me, you don't have a problem.
I'm talking about the dinner rack she left in the shower last week.
Oh, that. Well, I noticed your dandruff was back.
If you've used dandruff shampoos that didn't work, you're ready for Dinorex. Dinorex penetrates deep into the scalp to control dandruff and leave hair looking healthy.
I wanted to tell you how great your hair looked, but I guess we got sidetracked.
Are you finally ready for Dinorex? Use as directed.
Oh, I love charades. I'll go first.
Okay, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's something really, really big.
Mm-hmm. It's huge. Mm-hmm. The national deficit.
No.
Oh, it's the Kohl's Grand Opening Sale.
Yes. That's my girl.
Kohl's Grand Opening Sale starts Thursday at 8 a.m. with huge savings on our biggest brand names like Levi's, Adidas, Dockers, KitchenAid, and many more. Save 30 to 50% on all Mrs. Access, Nine & Company, and Daisy Fuentes sportswear. Save 30% on all Oshkosh playwear. And great brands of bras are just $15.99. Fit your wallet, schedule, style.
Over the river and through the woods,
to grandmother's house you go.
On your turkey day drive,
we'll be on air live.
The usual brilliant show. Over the river and through the woods,
there's no place we'd rather be.
On Thanksgiving Day,
if it's your rain,
on Sirius 143.
Alex Bennett and Lynn Samuels, doing what they do best. Their shows, of course, something like that. Thanksgiving Day on Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 143.
Are you significant? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The dictionary defines significant as someone who is noteworthy, valuable, or important. In our culture, we determine our significance by what we have, what we do for a living, and by comparing ourselves to others. But none of these are really good definitions. We should not look at outward signs and appearances to determine our significance. Instead, we should look at our hearts. An ancient proverb says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
In today's world, all voices must be heard.
That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoo, get away!
Play with them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see!
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The hour. Mark Maron, I'm listening to myself talk in my head. There's Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America. I have a confession to make. I blew a gasket in here earlier off of the mic. Blew up! Because Larson got under my skin. Clutch Larson got under my skin. And, like, I'd like to blame him. You know, I would like to blame him. I was
Go ahead. You got the blame button right there.
I was screaming like a child, yelling at him, because I thought, what was that even about?
It was about maybe 6:58.
Oh, no. Clutch is going to get on the mic.
Technically, you did blame me.
I blamed, yes.
Not that you would like to. You have.
Well, okay. All right. Well, I will retract some of that blame. What happened was, and I apologize. I'm going to apologize. Now you're going to leave. Look at that. you take the apology on mic, mister.
That's all right.
Okay. Well, what happened was is that you said something, and I interpreted it as you saying, here's what I think it was like, I thought I was running out of time, you know, on the tease. And you said, but you weren't. And I said, yeah, but the music cues led me to believe that I was. And you go, yeah, but you weren't. And then I took that to mean you're stupid. And
what I meant was you're an abysmal excuse for a human being. When I say you had plenty of time for the tease, what I mean is you're an idiot. Why are you even on the air? That's generally what I'm trying to convey when I say you had plenty of time for the tease.
There you go. Now you know, right?
Wow, I feel, you know, luckily I have this.
I was wrong.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jonathan. I apologize. I'm glad we cleared that up.
There you go.
I absolve you of your sins.
Thank you very much. Wow. Thank God he let me off the hook. I can be such a child. Imagine that, listeners.
This sounds
Mark
like the...
Mark Maron, immature. Can you imagine that?
Sounds like the christening scene from The Godfather.
Therese, how are you? LIB, New York, New Jersey. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, my God. I'm so happy I'm on.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Thanks for Air America. I have got to get this off of my chest.
Okay.
Please do.
I really am kind of getting a little annoyed with this whole basketball brawl thing.
Yeah.
And how the players are being made out to be villains.
Yeah.
Because this thing started. It was complete. It was done.
Yeah.
They were finished.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even throw punches amongst themselves. They were pushes and shoves, and it ended there. And then the fans got in it. And this idea that because someone is a millionaire, they're not supposed to retaliate. I ask you, if I'm walking down the street and I see Bill Gates and I throw a cup of beer in his face, is he not free to cold cock me?
No, Sharice, let me ask you a flip side of that question, though. Because
let me just say one more thing, and then I'll answer your question. I answer any questions you want. And also, I resent how these guys are being fit right into the stereotype of black men. Ron Artest graduated from St. John's University. Jermaine O'Neal went right to the NBA from high school. He's never been in trouble in his life, as far as I know, and neither has Steven Jackson. But the guy that threw the cup of beer, guess what? He has 3 felonies, and he's on parole, and he violated his parole by drinking beer. Now, I ask you, who is the thug?
Now, here's the question, Cherise.
Thank you.
If Bill Gates was walking down the street and threw something in your face, okay, and you hit somebody standing next to Bill Gates. Then what?
Oh, but if I didn't see. Ron Artest didn't see. Right. So if I...
So he hit the wrong guy.
But he didn't know.
That's not an excuse.
No, wait a minute.
It's not an excuse to hit the wrong guy and say, I didn't know. No, because NBA fans, NBA ball players...
He thought he was hitting the right guy.
NBA ball players are prohibited from going into the stands.
He was getting... I don't care.
No, no, no. No, no.
We don't have the license. We don't have the license to throw beer at the...
But the guy that he hit didn't throw the beer.
But he didn't see him.
So he could have... Should have thought of that before he hit the wrong guy, Sheree.
If I'm walking down the street and my shoulder is turned and someone throws a beer at me and I think it's Bill Gates and I haul off and hit him, I hit the wrong person. But
and you're arrested for assault and battery, Sheree. You are arrested for assault and battery for hitting an innocent.
So I don't care. Nobody has a right to throw anything on me.
Okay.
Nobody has a right to throw anything on me. And these guys are not thugs. They're millionaires. Some of them have 3 and 4 businesses on the side. They're taking care of 25 people. The guy that threw the beer, he's the real thug.
Cherise, it's not about who's the thug. It's about right and wrong. And if you hit an innocent person, you're wrong.
This is about race. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
See, I don't buy it. I'm black, and I'm not buying that it's race. I am not buying the fact that hitting the wrong person is about race. Let's talk about... No, no. Let's talk about the fact that Artest hit the wrong guy.
Young white men who continually resent these young black sports guys that have a lot of money.
That's a separate discussion. Separate discussion.
Because they felt...
A separate discussion.
I'm going to go to the bathroom.
They wanted to do to those guys, they feel entitled.
When you hit the wrong guy, you've made a serious error. Serious mistake. Period.
Let's talk about it.
And see, that's the kind of stuff that is actionable. Cherise, I don't know what the law is in your world, but if you hit the wrong person, if you hit an innocent human being. All right, now, Cherise, suppose they had hit one of those little kids that had been in the stands that night. Then what?
Don't try to hit those buttons.
No, no, no. I'm asking you. There was a kid that was standing there absolutely terrified. There was a little black child. Cherise, there was a little black child that was standing there absolutely terrified.
I would have cried, too, and I'm a grown woman. Okay? So let's not go there.
No. We got to go there because it was there. Cherise, it was there. It did happen. Ron Artest was wrong for going after the wrong person.
It was done. It was over. It was over. They had finished. These guys.
That doesn't excuse going after the wrong guy. Period.
All right, Sheree. Okay.
Okay. Provoked.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
I'm not sure that confession really worked out.
No. But I still maintain, yes, the guy was wrong for throwing the stuff, but Artest was wrong for hitting the wrong guy.
All right. Let's go to David in New Jersey. David, how are you?
David, yes, I'm fine. Mark Riley, Father Mark.
Hey, how you doing, David?
I'm great, thank you.
What's on your mind, man?
Bless me, Father, for I've sinned my entire life since I've been to confession. I love food. Particularly this morning, I love ambrosia.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
You got it wrong. Ambrosia is not a dish. It is the food of the gods.
Okay.
It should not be served with the meal. It's dessert.
Okay, all right.
It is orange.
Okay. Beautiful.
With mandarin oranges and those little white baby marshmallows and like sour whipped cream or something. It's candy, man.
Okay. Okay, dude. Thanks for calling, David.
I'll take your word for that one, David.
No, I think that was more of a plug for ambrosia. Still not quite a confession, but... it was close, and there's nothing wrong with loving ambrosia. We got time for one more?
Yeah, Diane.
In New York. How are you, Diane?
Oh, hi, guys. Love your show.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have to confess that this may not be a confession either, but it's very important.
Okay.
First of all, I'm involved professionally with herbs, and I love the fact that you guys are open and talking about natural remedies.
Okay.
This is the wave of the future, and we're against those really bad, bad, bad pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
However, if you're going to take oil of oregano, at least most preparations that are sold, you will seriously burn your throat if you just put the drops in without diluting it in water first.
Oh, okay.
So be sure to read the directions on the oil of oregano before you start using it.
Thank you very
much.
Point
well taken.
Thank you very much. Man, I felt like in that conversation with Charisse, you guys were going at it.
I know. I get like that sometimes.
It is about right and wrong.
For me, it's about right and wrong. And there was enough right and wrong for both sides here. And mm-hmm. I don't put this in the context of race that way.
Okay. We're going to be back with Judy Gold, yes?
Yeah.
And what else?
Oh, all man. We got so
liberal
much stuff.
Agenda. We got callers. It's fun. We're coming up on Thanksgiving, and we're having good time. Is that all right?
That's a good time.
All right. Let's keep listening to Air America Radio.
On Air America Radio.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
There is no scientific evidence that use of one drug necessarily causes use of any other drug. Relieved? Well, here's a reality check. Among adolescents who use illicit drugs, such as cocaine and heroin, almost every one of them used marijuana first. Makes you think, doesn't it? Help our kids understand. For more information, call 1-800-729-6686.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush says he wants it. He said yesterday that he thought Congress would have passed it by now, but many are now questioning whether the president is serious about passage of the intelligence bill. The administration initially rejected the overall plan way back when it was first recommended. Now the president says it would be a good thing, but several Democrats and a number of congressional Republicans think President Bush may be carrying water for his defense secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, a loyal member of the president's cabinet. But Bush insists he wants the bill passed. Listen.
I was disappointed that the bill didn't pass. I thought it was going to pass up until the last minute. And so I look forward to going back to Washington to work with the interested parties to get it passed. So I understand they're coming back into session to see if they can't get the bill passed.
President Bush yesterday on his latest hit of the intelligence bill, Connecticut Republican Congressman Christopher Shea says Rumsfeld's opposition to the intelligence bill is blatant. Shea says Rumsfeld already disclosed his personal feelings about the legislation in a private meeting with lawmakers earlier this fall, during which he trashed it. President Bush has called on the interagency to devise a plan that could expand the role of the department in covert operations. The Department of the Pentagon, this has traditionally been the domain of the Central Intelligence Agency. The Bush administration is moving in this direction while at the same time calling for support of a bill that would overhaul intelligence completely. Bush apparently signed the directive last week to launch the process that would take up to 90 days to complete. President's main focus, according to a published report, will center on whether the military special operations forces should have a role in paramilitary operations that a special CIA unit carries out. There's more evidence that outgoing State Secretary Colin Powell was forced out of the Bush inner circle as the president reshapes his cabinet for the second term. Powell, according to a report, wanted greater power to confront Israel over the stalled Middle East peace process. While Powell's departure was announced on November 15th, his resignation was earlier on the 11th, that is, shortly after meeting with President Bush about his plans. Iraq's Prime Minister Iyad Alawi is accentuating the positive about the impending elections in the country. The interim government figure envisions only a small number of people involved in a boycott by angry Sunni Muslims who are upset about the recent Fallujah offensive. This in addition to the bombing of a Baghdad mosque. Alawi said the forces of darkness and terrorism will not benefit from this democratic experience and will fight it. But the Prime Minister said he's determined to see the experiment succeed. Alawi's worries, however, failed to reach the ears of those still involved in violence in the capital and other cities in Iraq. The American Embassy reported the discovery of a bomb on a commercial flight inside Iraq yesterday. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Over the river and through the woods,
to grandmother's house you go.
on your turkey day drive.
We'll be on airline.
The usual brilliant show. Over the river and through the woods.
There's no place we'd rather be.
On Thanksgiving Day.
Hip, hip, hooray.
On Sirius 143.
Alex Bennett and Lynn Samuels doing what they do best. Their shows, of course.
Something like that.
Thanksgiving Day on Liberal Talk Radio. Sirius Left 143.
This is Earth and Sky. Whales recently revealed a mystery about themselves to scientists, their long lives.
We spoke with Jay Barlow of the National Marine Fisheries Service in La Jolla, California. Barlow led a recent research cruise that studied whales in Alaskan waters.
Several of the humpback whales that we photographed on this cruise were matched to photographic catalogs that were started in southeast Alaska in the late 1970s. So we know they're 30-plus years old, and I think that we'll surprise ourselves with the longevity of whales. There's some evidence now that some of these whales, not humpbacks, they're probably not extremely long-lived, but right whales and bowhead whales, they may live to be over 100 years old. A bowhead whale was taken by Native Alaskans just a few years ago that was found with a stone harpoon head embedded in its blubber. It's been there for a long, long time. That type of harpoon head had not been used for over 100 years.
Barlow said it's possible that some whale species are extremely long-lived, even compared to humans. Thanks today to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, promoting the conservation of native fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats. I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher, kings and queens, conspiracy theorists, and also that guy in Missouri who's up late thinking about squirrels. All right, so we're back. Mark Riley's here. Wayne Gelman has dropped in. He came all the way in from the room right next door.
A long walk.
To address the racial component of the basketball fight. Sharice got Riley all worked up. I thought I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know whether I had to leave or break him up or hang the phone up. But an issue has been introduced. And when it comes to this kind of stuff, we bring Gelman in to bring us some wisdom.
Why me?
You're the other black guy.
Let's
be clear about that.
Yeah, I know my role
brain,
now and my place.
It's not your intelligence. It's not the fact that you've been doing news for 30 years.
Thank you.
You're black.
Yeah.
So get in here.
Okay. We respect your opinion.
Well, thank you. Now that I've been outed, okay.
I didn't know you were hiding it.
Yeah, right?
Anyway, pregnant pause.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, do you think there was a racial component? Sharice, the caller.
I heard it.
Yeah.
You know,
so
to go back to the old days.
Yeah.
I understand her hostility.
What?
You know,
but
not everything is race.
Well, that was my point.
I didn't hear any racial epithets being hurled during the course of that situation. But, you know, I tell you one thing, and I was about to tell Jonathan Larson, our executive producer, a moment ago.
Hold on.
That is his title, right?
I was wrong.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was about to tell. Oh, that's cute.
What, the machine?
Yeah, the machine.
All kinds of stuff goes on in here. Right. When you ain't looking.
I can do all kinds of stuff on this machine.
But I was about to say
there
that.
There may be an I'm Wayne Gilman on
it. It might. Oh, please. Would you leave
not,
that?
There's not enough room on the machine. That was that three buttons.
I think I'll leave now. Yeah.
Wayne Gilman.
Yeah, I've been warned. I can't say
that. W-H-A-Y-N-E.
Right, you know. However, getting back to see, we are doing talking, right?
No, we got another record, Red.
I was watching your good friend Hannity and Combs last night. Friends, I should say.
Oh, yeah. My homies.
Yeah, right. And they spent a plethora, an inordinate amount of time on this one subject last night.
And Sean knows less about sports than Marin.
Is that true?
Yeah, no, I love baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
But look, people that are in media, unless they're in sports media, they don't spend it.
But the thing that really bothers me is that they call people over at Fox, they'll call a panel of what they perceived as experts on the game. None of the participants who play the game, they'll mention their names. And let's face it, the NBA is mostly black, all right? And they had a panel of whites. They had Warner Wolf. Did you know this?
No.
It's like hockey. But the thing is, they had Warner Wolf on, someone else who I really don't know, but someone who's white, and Hannity and Combs, and they're going back and forth on the issues, and they're saying things, they're making inferences that you know, if you're sitting at home and you read between the lines, you get the suggestion that there may be a little envy and jealousy here. That here it is, some black guy from out of the ghetto, made it big, he's making a lot of money, playing in the NBA, and he's irresponsible. And he was largely responsible for throwing that fight, which wasn't the case at all. But that's the perception that was given.
My first impulse, honestly, and this is just looking at the news segment. This is not, you know, I'm not a fan of basketball. I'm not judging any other way. Was my first response was, those fans are asses. I mean, that was my first reaction, was that, you know, these guys, what kind of disrespect is that?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it is disrespectful.
That.
And the thing is, it's not just something that's just relegated to basketball. We've seen this in hockey all the time.
Right.
You know, now it just, you know, hockey has graduated to baseball. When was the last
summer? The difference, though, is they don't get Charles Barkley to comment on hockey.
Well,
they don't get any black guys to come. Armstrong Williams doesn't comment on hockey.
Well, he's another story.
All right. They were having a hockey discussion, I guarantee you, it'd be another two white guys. There'd be no black people talking about
hockey. You're absolutely right. But, I mean, the thing is, and maybe I'm taking it too far, but perhaps that might be the one element. I mean, it's like the whole Kobe Bryant situation. You know, what's his name? Your good friend Bill O'Reilly took me to task.
For saying
that there was a racial element in there.
You have to be crazy not to think that,
you know, sex in the United States, the history of blacks being lynched, you know, the Emmett Till story where he was whistling at a white girl and he lost his life at the age of 15.
Right.
And you say there's no sex in that?
Right.
You know?
Well, it definitely was racist. But my point was not to say that there's not a racial overtone. My thing is that is a separate discussion from the rightness and wrongness of hitting or injuring the wrong person.
Oh, I agree. But, I mean, it was uncalled for.
Right. But then also that the race element is always there, pre-existing, whatever's going on here.
But suppose that little kid that was there hugging his mother had actually gotten hit by one of these guys.
He'd have to change his love to baseball or hockey or something else.
No, they'd have to change the name of the stadium to his name because his mother would file a lawsuit that they'd own a piece of the team.
Exactly.
All right. You know? Well, I guess we got a little closure on this, hey?
I hope so.
All right.
Now, I don't know. I've been going in on other matters.
How do you like your Thanksgiving turkey, Wayne Gilman?
White turkey, you know? And we were saying off, Mike, I don't know if it's a racial thing, but we way back in the day did a survey. We find most whites like dark meat.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't know where the conversation is.
Okay, we're going downhill.
No, I don't mind
that. The rest of the country is listening. What's up with these guys?
Yeah, right.
I know, because Riley doesn't like dark meat either.
Yeah.
And I do.
I can tell you why he doesn't like dark meat.
Listen, pal.
I'll leave that alone. I'm gone now.
Have a nice trip. Ready to get work.
Right. Yeah, pick up the train to Riley, pal. Thanks, Wayne. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Now we're going to take Dan Pashman's son of Lewis and Lyndon Pashman to task about something else. Now, I look, look, I didn't know U2 was playing yesterday, okay? And now the thing is, U2, one way or the other, I like U2. I liked their last album. I didn't like pop a lot. You know, I know I'm not a huge U2 fan. I love the Joshua Tree. I like the first couple of albums. You know, I don't have all of their albums, you know, but I think that Bono is a pretty good rock and roll singer, and I like U2. But Dan Pashman, who is on the mic right there, is like, Bono sucks. He's a sellout. He doesn't live up to what he's supposed to be. Now, what is the argument here? Why do you think
what's your problem with Bono, pal?
Why do you think it's Bono's responsibility to write songs about people dying of AIDS in Africa in order to live up to what he's presenting himself to be, which is not that?
Because, you know, yes, he presents himself to be a social activist. He traipses all around the world, supposedly raising consciousness for these causes that he cares a lot about, and yet he chooses, consciously chooses, not to use the most powerful weapon he has at his disposal, which is his music.
All right, but wait, what do you want from him? You want him to write folk songs? What do you want him to do?
Look, he went to Africa with Paul O'Neill, former Treasury Secretary,
to raise
consciousness about AIDS in Africa.
And he did.
Yeah, you know, did he though?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
So he went, didn't you? But I already knew about the issue. When you listen with Paul O'Neill, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
All right? You're preaching to the choir. The people who buy U2 records, a lot of those people are people who don't know anything about AIDS in Africa. He has an opportunity to raise consciousness by writing, this is a guy who used to write political music, and now he writes watered-down pop crap about what a beautiful day it is.
It's not watered-down pop crap. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah,
but shut up! No, it's not! You're missing the point about music. Sometimes music elevates in different ways, and he will write more political music. And I can't believe I'm defending Bono here. It's just your belligerence about the whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, I think that just by nature of a celebrity, and by nature of the fact that he occasionally, every album, you know, maybe not pop, there's been at least two songs on there that have been good songs. And just the fact that they're good songs elevates the consciousness of who he is. And if he's taking political action, then his celebrity is enough. And, you know, a lot of people don't write, you know, socially active songs because they're not capable of it or they suck.
You're right. But there are celebrities out there, a lot of celebrities and musicians, actors, whatever, who take stances on issues. And a lot of them do it in a real half-hearted, half-assed kind of way. Some of them do it very seriously, and they learn about the issue, and they make a real difference. And Bono has the opportunity to be someone who takes that step to someone who actually impacts an issue.
All right, well, let me ask you a question.
Window dressing.
In a little while, that song, in a little while. Is that a boring, pop, junky, crappy song?
I don't know that one.
Yeah, you do. from the last album?
Is that stuck in a moment, but I can't get out of it? Yeah, no, crap.
Well, let me tell you something. Joey Ramone dying of cancer, listening to it over and over again because it made him feel better. All right, so maybe what you're mistaken is that maybe Beautiful Day, the song that you hate so much, what if you sang it to a bunch of people dying of AIDS and they smiled?
What's wrong with that? I'm sure that Bono's music makes people feel better sometimes.
So what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. What I'm saying is that he is not using the most powerful weapon at his disposal to fight for the causes he believes in.
I don't think that's true.
Let me ask you a question, Dan Pashman.
Yeah, please.
How much Wyclef John you got at home?
Some.
Which one?
I got a Bubble Goose off the South Park soundtrack.
Now, Wyclef John did an album of nothing but Haitian music.
Yeah.
He's a Haitian American. He has gone to Haiti to raise consciousness about the problems there. He's doing a benefit coming up about
it. I give him credit for it.
But how come you don't have his album?
Because not just credit, support. He's not Bruce Springsteen.
That's a separate issue, right?
No, it isn't.
Sure it is.
Where do you weigh in on this? 866-303-2270 is our number. Get out of here. All of you. Just, you know what I mean? This whole day. You know what I mean? If it's not Springsteen. No, I love you, Dan. It's good to see you.
I don't mean sit back down.
I can say if you want.
16 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition. We can't do it without you. Call us at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. Right here on Air America Radio.
It's winter, and that challenges my immune system. Hey, this is Larry King, and to stay healthy, I depend on the advanced protection of Ester C. Advanced because Ester C is the only vitamin C with metabolites. Advanced because it's already in a form my body can use. So give your immune system the kind of help I give mine. Get the advanced protection of Ester C. Ester C. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin C?
And now, look for Ester E, where fine vitamins are sold.
So I got the hint.
What hint?
About my problem.
Believe me, you don't have a problem.
I'm talking about the Denorex she left in the shower last week.
Oh, that. Well, I noticed your dandruff was back.
If you've used dandruff shampoos that didn't work, you're ready for Denorex.
Denerex penetrates deep into the scalp to control dandruff and leave hair looking healthy.
I wanted to tell you how great your hair looked, but I guess we got sidetracked.
Are you finally ready for Denerex? Use as directed. Planet.
Back in 2000, Congress passed the Beach Act to ensure recreational waters were safe for swimming and surfing by notifying the public.
The final rule uses 1986 standards, and the standards were recognized to be outdated measures of water quality.
That's Novice Bermudez from Sierra Club's Environmental Quality Team.
Yet, rather than invest in science for more effective methods to test water, the Bush administration is working to weaken the existing requirements.
States at risk include
Florida, North Carolina, several Great Lakes states, Alaska and New York, among others. People are going to the beach and exposing themselves to potentially contaminated water with fecal coliform and sewage, and it can end up being sick. And we feel a day at the beach shouldn't result in a trip to the doctor.
Test the waters at SierraClub.org. That's Planet Check.
The Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
The Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions. The Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now enjoying a nice hot Thanksgiving dinner. The Smiths are starving.
Great idea.
Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather. Sirius 150 to 159.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Stuart, how are those edges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're five. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those edges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from
the cat.
Oh, and the neighbor's new car.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop.
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
Got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kids' principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Past the hour. There you go. Listen to this watered down pop crap. But he's speaking a foreign language.
Yeah, he said 1, 2, 3, 4 ski.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah. That's a political statement. When you make the jump from 3 to 14, everyone knows what he's talking about, Pastor. I think you might just be out of the loop, man. You don't know about the 11-point jump?
Sorry.
Yeah, all right.
You need to wake up.
Some guy, Lou, called from Florida, and he made the point that Dylan wrote a lot of pop songs along with his protest songs and along with the folk songs. Maybe we just got to wait. Maybe he's gonna, like, and you were making the point about, like, how you think that if he wrote songs about the causes he believes in, that it would elevate that cause. And I think that truth of the matter is, it might not elevate it any more than it already does with him just showing up for it. Because a lot of people just like the music. They listen to the music for release. They don't. A lot of people don't listen to music to be educated or informed necessarily. But if it's in there, if the poetry works and it serves a feeling that they're having, I think most people, most of the time with those type of songs, you're preaching to the converted anyways.
That may be true. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with fun pop music. I'm not saying you should never, ever write a song like that. But Jobano has not written a song about a meaningful political issue in 15 years.
Uh-huh.
All right, he played at the Clinton Library dedication. He played Sunday, Bloody Sunday. That song's going to be 20 years old.
Didn't he play Rain by the Beatles because it was raining?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. He improvised. Yeah. You got a problem with that?
He should have played Who'll Stop the Rain. That would have been a lot cooler.
Played the entire first side of Smile, and that would have made you happy.
He couldn't have pulled it off.
Chris in Connecticut. What's up, Chris?
Chris in Connecticut.
What's up, buddy?
Hello. I was just going to say, after more than 20 years, maybe that part of the well's run dry, and if he writes unsuccessful material, he's not going to have the opportunity to fight for his causes anymore, at least not publicly.
Well, that's what we were talking about there earlier. Thanks for your call, Chris. Is that, you know, it's a mistake to think that Bono, you know, has all the control in the world. I mean, he's still got to make good records, right? Was I supposed to do the Palm Pilot?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Palm Pilot we got from,
Ignacio.
Ignacio, I don't know where Ramon is, but this is Rumsfeld's Palm Pilot for today. 0600, wake up. Sweet perimeter of mattress for snipers. 0630, toilet. Wipe with 9/11 commission report. 0800, talk to new Secretary of the Army. See if we can streamline an army to an army of one to an army of one half. 0900, talk president out of supporting intelligence overhaul bill. Tell him this is exactly the kind of thing your father would do. 1100, continue running government with Cheney. Note, stay out of public eye. Don't want to kill Junior's mandate. 1300, dream up ideas for expensive new weapon systems. Note, reread Inside the Third Reich. The Reich. You can do it either way? Tell me, Bashman. All right. 1400, stock office bunker with 4-year supply of water, canned food, and pinups. Note, they won't get me like they got Powell. 2200, private strategy session in White House Situation Room. Note, if we amass troops in Catalina and make an amphibious assault on Santa Monica, we can take L.A. before Christmas. There you go.
Here's a Pashmanite.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Rex. How are you, Rex, in Atlanta? What's going on?
What's up, Rex?
Hey, I wanted to agree. You two sold out forever ago, and the music has sucked ever since. But I also wanted to compare them a little bit to Sinead O'Connor, who I thought fought brilliantly for the causes she believed in, and what's going on up there in Ireland in that area, and look where it got her.
Yeah, where is she?
Yeah.
Well, she's in hiding. You go to her website and she says that. But still, you know, she was kind of bold and brazen going to Saturday Night Live and everything. But, you know, if you were to stand up, what better way to stand up and say what you mean? And if you two did something like that, they'd be out of U.S., that's for sure.
I don't know if they'd be out of the U.S., and I don't know that I agree. I mean, selling out or not selling out, the truth of the matter is that I still think they write some pretty good songs, and what's the shame in that?
They write good pop rock songs. That's certainly true, but, I mean, the point is, it compares it to Sinead O'Connor, which is only mildly apt. The reality is that U2 has built up a level of fandom and popularity and credibility among its fans way more than Sinead O'Connor could ever have dreamed of. And U2 has the ability to spend some of that credibility, as Bruce did in the lead up to the last election.
You know, he's starting to sound like Bush. I have plenty of political capital and I intend to spend it.
Yeah, but they don't have the NAS to spend it. They're just like, we're just going to sit on this nest
egg. Maybe the other guy's right. Maybe it's not a matter of NAS. Maybe the guy has not written a song that he thinks is appropriate for this type of cause yet.
Well, then
or maybe that he hasn't, you know, he hasn't pulled it around yet. A lot of you've got on
maybe
some
you
level,
need your help then.
No, but sometimes I mean, you know, you're a guy that you get so loyal to people. I don't get the feeling that you're ever loyal to U2, number one. And number two, it's like, you know, you got to forgive a guy a few bad albums. At least they're still making records. There's very few people that can continue to put out records. And not unlike Tom Petty on some level. Like Tom Petty's first three albums, I love them. And it's just not about politics. And then he locked into a sound and he wrote out the rest of his career like
right.
that. But there have been a couple of good songs. You know, is he a sellout? I guess. Did he find find something that worked? Was it easier? Yeah. You know, I don't know. The word sellout is thrown around so much. I mean, you know, sellout, you know, is relative to an artist. Maybe this guy is just waiting for it. And who knows what's going to be on this album? We're going to find out on Thursday. Maybe it'll be something surprising. But, you know, as people get older, they're not only going to mature, but their emotional capacity and their emotional expression is going to change as well.
I just find it hard to believe that if Bono wasn't willing to take the small risk that's required to take to write a couple of political songs for a current album about the issues he cares about, that he couldn't pull it off. I think he's just not willing to take the risk.
Well, you know, I'm just like, I'm fighting it for the sake to fight with you sometimes, you know? But because
I maybe he just didn't like what he wrote. You ever think maybe he wrote something and he just didn't think it was good enough?
Sure, I guess that's possible.
Well, what that guy was saying was that, you know, if he was to, he was basically talking about being Irish and then, you know, making comments, that could have backfired on him, too. And would that have been ballsy if the guy had, if Bono had written a song to assault the campaign and then been, you know, spun out of the country because of his feelings?
Well, I mean, the difference between, you know, Sinead O'Connor was never that big of a star. Bono's so much bigger, he can get away with whatever. He could write about whatever he wants to write about.
Bono,
he doesn't lose his career.
Bono and Obama in 2008.
There we go.
All right, man. So we got Judy coming in.
We got Judy coming up. A friend of yours is also going to be coming a calling.
Oh, yeah?
Lawton Small.
Oh, yeah.
Planet Bush when we come back here on Air America Radio. Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered CortiSlim once. They've ordered CortiSlim again. So many people have found that CortiSlim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and CortiSlim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the CortiSlim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
The Smith family doesn't have serious first traffic and weather. The Jones family checks first traffic and weather before every trip. The Smith family doesn't have constantly updated traffic and weather conditions.
The
Jones family got to where they were going fast and are now enjoying a nice hot Thanksgiving dinner. The Smiths are starving.
Great idea.
Keep up with the Joneses and get where you're going this holiday weekend. First traffic and weather. Sirius 150 to 159.
This is Earth and Sky with a story about spotted owls and West Nile virus.
We spoke with Alan Franklin, a research scientist at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. For 20 years, he's conducted a field study of spotted owl populations in Northern California, tracking their reproduction and survival. This year, Franklin and his colleagues started a project looking at the effects of an unwelcome newcomer to his neck of the woods, West Nile virus.
We're sort of in a unique situation with spotted owls because we have population studies that have been going on for a long period of time. So we have a really good idea of what the background survival rates are.
Although West Nile can be lethal to owls, some of the birds predicted to become infected are expected to survive. Franklin told us that it isn't easy to say what the ultimate impact of West Nile will be on the owls.
One problem we have is that the virus has only been in the United States for 5 years now. That's not a very long time. When you're studying population dynamics in wildlife species, 5 years is a short-term study. So it's still a sort of an open book.
We have more about spotted owls on our website, earthsky.org. Thanks today to the U.S. Forest Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the great schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Where?
Judy Gold's going to be with us in a minute. She's really with us right now.
Yes, she is.
You know, I can see her right now, and every time I get around Judy, I feel soft and vulnerable.
Really?
And open.
You're lying.
I'm like the only person that probably has that reaction to you. Like when you're around, I literally just turn into Jello.
You're lying.
I'm not lying. Look at me. I'm about to cry. Listen.
Me too.
We had this long discussion about coffee. We'll get to that in a minute because I got to. Since our president is openly operating in a different reality, we think it's important that Americans know what's happening in this alternate universe. Luckily, we have a staffer who lives in that world. And once again, joining us now on the phone from Planet Bush is correspondent Lawton Smalls. Good morning, Lawton.
Good morning, Mark. God got your underpants and he's giving you a wedgie.
Okay. No. Good, good, good. So look, today we're going to talk about the state of marriage in 2004.
Yes, let's do that. Mark, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Homosexuals are ruining our society.
Whoa.
Unnatural.
Hey, look.
Unclean.
Look, actually, I was specifically referring to divorce. I think it's interesting that conservatives are making such a big deal about protecting marriage now, but in the past, they've never done anything to improve the conditions that really help marriage, namely educating people and reducing poverty.
Sure. I guess you think education and money will just solve everything.
Yes, I do, actually.
You see, here's the thing. Conservatives really didn't have much power back in the late 70s when homosexuality was invented.
Ronald Reagan
took office, the right-thinking straight white people in this country realized that marriage was under siege from these people in their neatly trimmed mustaches and tight-fitting which is clearly forbidden in the Bible.
Okay,
you know, Adam and Eve... Not Adam and
Okay,
Steve.
I've heard that. That's a
Never
hacky
Adam
line. That's hacky, all right? Now, are you really saying that there weren't gay people until the late 70s?
Well, yes, Mark. It was caused by the jungle carnality of disco.
Wait, I don't understand.
Mark, you know, I'm not an if-only kind of guy, but if we'd encourage ballroom dancing when we had the chance instead of... The hustle and the bus stop.
Okay.
Well, the moral landscape of this country would be very different today, I promise you. Unfortunately, Gerald Ford, while an admirable man in many ways, what's the word I'm looking for?
Moderate?
Exactly. He was a queer, a red boy, rough trade, an angry top.
Wait. I want to make sure I understand
rough
what you're
trade.
Saying. Look, I want to
Stop
let me make sure I understand. You
Stop
claim
it.
That high divorce rates in the red
rough
states
trade.
Have nothing to do with pushing young, uneducated... Stop it. Poor kids into marriage they're not ready for, but instead are caused by homosexuality, and that's all. That all could have been prevented if there had been no disco. Is that what you're saying, Smalls?
No, Mark. No,
what
not
are you
at
saying?
All. No,
what are you saying?
No,
what's the matter now?
Activist judges,
What's the matter now?
Ex-Miss Judges.
See? What's coming up? What? Wait. That's it. That's it. Cry, you
so
little baby.
Lonely. I have what's platform going? Shoes. I have a whole closet full of leisure suits and shiny shoes.
There you go.
I used to go to Plato's Retreat.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. There you go. I'm glad we got to this. This is what's at the core of
it.
We love you, and it's okay, buddy. Let it out, man. You just gotta let it out. Yeah. That's it. That's it. There you go. There you go. Feel better?
We're saving marriage, Mark.
Oh,
join us.
God.
A man, a woman, and Jesus. That's a marriage,
okay.
My friend.
Thank you, Auden. Thank you.
All right, buddy. You have a good Thanksgiving
you
now.
You too, buddy. It's
God
okay.
Loves you.
I know.
Deal
you
with
too.
It. Okay. Deal with it.
I'm trying.
Goodbye now.
Bye. Deal with it.
Van McCoy is turning over in his grave right now.
Maybe.
Wait, gays were invented in the 70s?
In the 70s. And I know
what
where, too.
I was going through this whole thing. I guess I was something else then.
That's Judy Gold, the famous comedian.
Famous comedian.
Is rumored to be a lesbian as well.
That would be a true rumor.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
Now, now we'll do my mother.
Okay.
I don't know why you have to mention it every time. Ellen doesn't mention it on her show. She's so refined.
Can I see? I had this question bothering me when I was coming over.
Yes.
Are you ever bullied by other lesbians to behave a certain way? To like, you know, you're not acting this way and you should, as a lesbian, act this way?
No.
Never?
No.
Okay.
I mean... All right, there's different kinds of lesbian. I mean, here's the deal. You know, when I first was coming out, mm-hmm. I mean, I knew I was gay, you know, but when I was younger and I'd see these, like, really butch women, I'd get offended. Like, why do they have to look like that? Why do they have to walk like that? Why do they have to wear the fanny pack? And then
But like, what is the exact look? Because I want to know. I mean,
okay, we're talking, you know, nothing that accentuates your body.
Right.
No makeup.
Right.
No perfume.
Right.
You know, there's people that are just like, it's not about your sexuality. They just don't want it to be about your sexuality.
Okay.
Or you as a sexual being.
Right.
Because then you're not taken seriously as a human being.
Right.
It's all about, oh, she's attractive, so I'll talk to her. She has makeup on, and you know, you're covering something up.
Right.
So they kind of androgynize themselves. Now, and I said to a friend of mine, I said, why did they have to do this? And this an older lesbian said, you know, these are the people who are out there and in people's faces, and the minute people see them, they know they're lesbians, mm-hmm. and they make it easier for you.
So they're like, they're out in the trenches doing the
work.
Well,
they're just who they are, and they make no excuses for it. So I kind of have more respect for them, although fashion-wise, I really don't find it. You know, I like being a girl. I like being a girl. I mean, I don't have makeup on right now, but I do enjoy my makeup, Mark, as you know. And I wear dresses.
I know. Wait a minute.
And I need a girlfriend.
You know, it's funny.
I've never seen you in a dress.
I just said there's
Mark,
a book.
I always wear dresses. I'm sorry. Always wear dresses in the summer.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to I don't remember.
Why don't you come over and I'll try some dresses on.
Ooh.
I've seen Mark's you-know-what. Go ahead.
I just had seen a thing about Audre Lorde, who was a black poet and activist and lesbian.
Okay.
And they said that one of the things that was misinterpreted about her life most was her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
That, in fact, she was a very sexual person.
Right.
But because she was a lesbian, they tried to push her into that whole, you know, the whole flannel-wearing kind of thing.
Right.
Where she actually had a succession of lovers, all of whom she kept very close to her throughout the rest of her life because of her sexuality, because she was into them physically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, she was supposed to be Audre Lorde, this woman who, you know, this gay black icon, and she wasn't supposed to feel any of that.
Right.
And apparently it really, tortured her entire life.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. My first serious girlfriend in college is, and
is she a lesbian?
Yeah, she is.
Whoa.
And
Mark, what does that say about you?
Well, either I'm really tough act to follow her. I ruined an entire gender for her.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. There was years after we'd broken up, she was living up in Connecticut with her girlfriend. And she invited me over. So, of course, I'm taking the train up thinking, oh, this is it.
So you're going to have your big threesome.
Baby. Yeah. So they picked me up in her girlfriend's truck.
Okay.
You know, which she should have just had a gun rack on.
Yeah.
Right? You know, as I'm sitting in the back of the truck with her girlfriend's dog, I realize.
What kind of dog? Big huge dog,
I'm like, this isn't going to happen.
Right.
And I'm not sure I'd want it to. I think I'd be frightened.
Right.
I've never had a cockfight with a woman.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So she picked a butchy butch.
Yes, she did. And she, but she's now she's with a man. I don't know. What kind of women do you like? Like in movie star terms, like a movie star.
Here's my thing.
Like when you were a kid, what movie star were you like, oh my God?
My first, I think, crush on a famous person was Barbara Eden.
Really?
I dream of Jeannie. Okay. Yeah.
Well, is that weird?
Everybody must have been.
Yeah.
Because I
did
I,
you?
Yeah, of course.
But then, of course, I was in love with David Cassidy.
Well, he's a girl, kind of.
Yeah. And Johnny Osmond.
David Cassidy sort of looks like a lesbian if you look at him.
If
right.
you do the
like,
hair, yeah, the hair. Yeah. He is lesbianic. Yeah.
Is that what all that come on and happy stuff is about?
Yeah, but I loved Barbara Eden.
Yeah.
Now, if I was thinking about, it's all for me. It's all about smart and funny.
Yes.
If you can make me laugh, that's it. Aren't you like that? You're a comic. I mean, if someone can make you laugh,
Then it's competitive. No,
with you.
First of all, there are only three people on earth
immature.
That can make him laugh, and you're one of them.
I'm Mark.
Yeah, you do make me laugh. I'm not a big laugher.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, my wife makes me laugh.
She does.
The weird thing is, she doesn't do it on purpose. She's a very quirky person.
Right.
And like,
she doesn't realize she's...
No, she knows she's funny.
No, but does she do quirky things with the intent of making you laugh?
Yes, she can. Yes, she does. Absolutely.
And then you appreciate that.
I very much I do.
And do you find that sexually stimulating?
Yeah.
Ooh,
I don't know if that turns me on. You know what turns me on?
What?
Is that that I know that at any given moment, my wife could go, you know what? I'm done with you. And actually leave.
Right. I kind of like that, too.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a line there. Like, I really realize that I don't have control.
Right.
And this is the first time that's happened with me.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you've changed.
I have changed.
A lot.
Well, I'm going to think about it because we've got to take a break.
No!
No, we're coming back with you. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere.
I need to have some more coffee.
We have to have coffee talk
here. We need to talk about the fact that Mark drinks instant coffee. It's 2004.
No, but
you're in assisted living.
All right,
24, what is that?
44 past the hour at Air America Radio.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com. Courtesy of Air America Radio.
Until recently, men have had only two options to improve their performance in the bedroom. Take a prescription drug that works quickly but only lasts for a few hours, or take a natural supplement that can take up to 4 weeks to work. But now there's a new option. In a recent medically supervised anecdotal study, over 96% of the participants who took Proton Extreme reported an increase in libido and erectile strength. Each participant was given a one-week supply. Some of the younger men had a response in just a few hours, others in just a few days. Regardless of your age, if you want to boost your libido quickly and naturally, then take the Proton test yourself. Results are guaranteed.
Call now for your risk-free supply. 1-800-399-6763. That's 1-800-399-6763. 9 out of 10 men have success with Proton. Now it's your turn. Call 1-800-399-6763. Again, 1-800-399-6763.
Okay, people, what do we have?
Doesn't look good. Patient is male, 28 years old, trying to get a loan for a new car.
They're checking his credit now.
What's the status?
Looks like he's got some credit problems.
Late payments?
Yes, doctor.
Too many credit cards.
Affirmative.
I've got 6 credit cards and rising. Make that 7.
I've seen this before. What's his credit score?
No response.
What?
He doesn't know, doctor.
What? He went for a loan without knowing his credit score?
We're losing the loan.
Why didn't he use Score Power from Equifax?
Clear.
How many people do we have to lose?
How's your financial health? Find out with Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score. All for just $14.95. It's the first step toward healthy credit. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Doctor, come quick. There's a woman trying to buy a house without her credit score.
It's an epidemic. Run away.
Get the power. Score Power at Equifax.com.
Let's listen in on the Alq Kitchen, where Larry, Cheryl, Butch, and John are preparing the Alq Thanksgiving Feast.
If we time it right, the turkey will be done right after my show. You guys can carve it up.
Oh, that's a great deal.
What do you do with this bag of squishy stuff inside the turkey, Ralph?
You just stick your hand right in there. Pull it out. That's what it's stuffing.
How heavy is this thing anyway?
Share your Thanksgiving Day drive with Alq in the Morning and John McMullen.
Pizza, anyone?
Happy Thanksgiving from America's gay radio station, Sirius Alq 149.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world. Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls. Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
There's something important you can do to help your child develop properly starting at birth. Have your baby's hearing tested and follow up on any advice you're given. It's easy, inexpensive, and can help you protect your child's ability to learn. For more information, contact the American Speech Language Hearing Association on the web at asha.org or call 1-800-638-8255.
1-800-638-8255. Hey, we're back. It's 49
past the hour. Is
this thing on? Yeah, I'm Mark Maron.
I hope
Mark
it wasn't on during the break.
Judy Gold. I wish it was on during the break.
Michael Powell will be on the Amtrak on his way up here.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Quickly, I want to do a couple of emails in response to Dan Pashman's, wrong stance on you two, as I have argued. But these people will even make the argument more interesting. I've been obsessed with you two since I was 14, and I can honestly say that through their music and through their lives outside of music, they have made a difference in making me informed and keeping me passionate. I learned about Greenpeace and Amnesty International through their liner notes, and they kept talking about Sarajevo when nobody wanted to talk about it. There you go. Sorry, Dan. Bono has done the following. 1997, Please, song about the problem in Ireland on U2's Pop. 2000, Walk On, song on All That You Can Leave Behind about Aung San Suu Kyi's human rights violations against him. 1999, Net Aid participant to eliminate third world debt. 1995, Miss Sarajevo, song with Pavarotti about Sarajevo. 2000, Jubilee concert to eliminate third world debt. 2003, 46664, song and concert about Nelson Mandela. There you go, Dan.
First of all, the fact that do you have to read another one?
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I thought there were two. No, it's all about him. I come in, I get up early, I come, and then we have to still talk about him and his stupid YouTube Bono crap.
Well, wait a minute. This one's just by another. Go ahead. What do you got to say, Judy?
I have to say the fact that people learn their current events by liner notes of a CD is really pathetic.
Well, so they got to learn it somewhere. It wasn't current events. It was raising their awareness of some things they didn't know about.
Okay,
it's not
fine.
Current event.
No, it is current event. It is a current event.
Well, you need to get laid, don't you? That's what's going on. I mean, you just told me you were on Luna last night basically soliciting someone to have their first lesbian experience with you.
I didn't say I was just asking people in the audience, because women usually have. Have you ever had a homosexual experience?
No.
Oh, you are so lying.
I did the advance with a guy in college. Go ahead.
But you never touched another guy in
that place?
No.
How about you?
No. Absolutely not. And I have many, many, many gay friends and have had
You were definitely in a situation where you could have had plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just no interest at all.
No interest whatsoever. You know, and it's no big thing. I mean, you know, there used to be a saying back in the day, were you going to stay straight and struggle or have greatness thrust upon you?
Uh-huh.
You know? Thrust, keyword. Yeah.
But wait, let's get back to you.
Yeah.
So you're on stage with Luna.
No, I just, I asked if anyone was a lesbian, and no one was, because that's my luck. And then I asked if anyone had a lesbian experience, and one woman raised her hand, and I said, what happened? Why'd you go back? And she said, I don't know what I'm allowed to say anymore.
The penis. Just say penis.
The penis.
Okay.
And then I said that I love men. I just don't want the penis in my mouth or
tush
or
other places,
other orifice.
But so you could theoretically have a penis in your purse or
I would
there.
Have one in my purse, one that you could plug in. You know, I just so I don't know what it is. It's it's really it's like a sexual. It's like I'm just not.
Do you want to have another woman in your life on a permanent level? Or are you just looking.
I'm pretty. I think I'm pretty permanent person.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
You know, we have all these outlets now. We've got morningsedition.com. We got a voicemail. If somebody wants to hook up with you, there's a million different ways we can do it through our show.
Right. But they have to be smart and funny and clean. I can't deal with bad hygiene. Flossing. Floss.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Teeth, very important.
I floss every day.
Me too. And you drink instant coffee.
The coffee.
Nescafe.
Let me explain that. That's new. I just got that last week. The reason I got it is every day I would stop at Dunkin' Donuts coffee and get a large Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
They have good coffee.
I like it. All right? But I get here, then I have a bag of M&M's, and I'd literally alienate
everybody. That's healthy.
No, I would scream and yell. It made me crazy. There was too much caffeine in it. So I figured since the coffee machine here sucks, and I don't want Passman to be running out getting me coffee, you know, and I wanted to – all right, here comes the – I wanted to save a little money. So what I did was I bought the Nescafe thinking it might be good because they got really hot water over here, and I use it. And it's not bad. That's all there is to it. It's just
horrible. Okay? It's disgusting. It's instant coffee. You pour the coffee in, and then you pour boiling water over it. How disgusting is that?
Oh, my God.
It's gross.
Okay, granted.
It's nursing home. Hi, I want the coffee. Can you pour it? Put the cap on. That's what it is.
Tell me about the Israeli coffee there. You're just...
My brother-in-law is Israeli, and I went over to my sister's house. And
does he do anything for you? Do you think he's attractive? All right. Okay, go ahead.
He's like typical Israeli. Like, you're like everything. He knows everything. Like, one time I walk in the house and my sister goes, oh, are those new shoes? And I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, yes. James are better. Like my sister, Jane. James' shoes are better. And like everything, he knows everything. He knows about shoes. He knows, Anyway, James are better. Anyway, so he has some like instant Israeli coffee.
Right.
Which is actually good. I mean, it's...
Yeah, that's why I was down too hard.
No, I'm sorry. But, I mean, it's better than this Nescafe.
But, you tried that coffee and it wasn't bad. No, I love coffee, and I'm after the show, I'll go out and have some nice coffee. I just have that there. And you know what I didn't drink today? I drank tea, and it made me crazy. The tea made me crazy.
I had a cup of tea last night at, like, 7,
I was
up all night.
I know. Tea.
What is that?
I'm blaming the tea now. I blew up at Clutch Larson, my producer, earlier, and I think it was the tea.
Tea's supposed to be soothing. We're having such a deep conversation today, aren't we?
Yeah, it is.
We covered a lot of stuff.
We did?
Yeah, we definitely did. So wait, what did you think
of Friday's basketball?
JudyGold.com.
Okay. And you can get your CD there.
My CD's there.
Okay. And the basketball.
And you can sign up for girlfriending.
Yeah.
Yeah, the girlfriending at morningsedition.com.
Okay, or you can...
But what about the basketball?
What basketball?
Oh, okay.
Did you watch the basketball? Did you see the fight?
Yeah, I saw that.
What did you think of that?
It's like my kid loves basketball, right? I have two kids. Oh, that's the other thing. So if you have to like kids. Anyway. But, you know, basketball, it was a civilized. What happened to Dr. J? What happened to these people that were so classy and great? Yeah. What happened? What? They're all thugs now and they're all 10. I can't. It's so annoying. Bill Bradley. I mean, what happened?
What happened to the great classy basketball players?
Yeah, what happened? Tell me. What is this? That you can't control your temper? That everything is... it's just so annoying.
My thing is, if fans get on the court... There's a problem. Uh-huh. Just like when they went after that guy who went on a baseball field. But when it comes to players going into the stands, that's a problem. And when you hit the wrong person, which is what Ron Artest did, that's an even bigger problem because you expose yourself, your team, and your league.
But why does it get to that point?
What about those fans?
Because people have
no
control.
Fans are idiots, too.
Did you see them throwing stuff? It was like I couldn't believe it.
People have no self-control in this country. That's why they voted for that idiot.
I have a lot of self-control. I only ate half a cookie earlier.
You did?
Yeah.
Where's the other half if you only ate half?
Can I say something, Mark? What? It's so obsessed with his body. Like when he, you know, he's always like, oh, I look really good, don't I?
Never say that. Said that in my life. I say I look fat, if anything. Listen to you and Judy Gold, who I Googled. Judy's very attractive. Okay, she is hot.
Really?
Ooh. Please sign me up for the struggle with Judy, for the snuggle with Judy Gold project.
Ah, wait, there you go. I told you
your
results here
at
Morning Tradition.
Yeah, here.
Wait, let me see. What's the email address? I'm not going to say it.
Here, hold on. I'm gonna do my liberal agenda now. We're from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. Demand, one, demand that the entire 9/11 commission be enacted into law, including the table of contents and the index. Two, organize union for UN hostage takers so they never again have to prematurely release another hostage without adequate health care.
Don't play this when there's a Jewish woman in the friggin'.
Since the grilled cheese sandwich with the image of the Virgin Mary is sold on eBay for $28,000, try to auction off your potato knish that looks like Danny Thomas. Danny Thomas, that's funny. By four.
Arab.
Urge a ban on all professional basketball games until drinks can be cooled with non-harmful Nerf ice. All right, here's what you got to say in conversation. You know the new video game about the JFK assassination? It's the Warren Commission all over again, man. Gerald Ford's still trying to get in our heads, dude. You understand? Wake up.
All right.
Thank you, Judy. What are you
guys
doing?
Thank you, guys.
What's going on?
We got Alan Richmond. We got Andrew Revkin all tomorrow here on Morning Tradition Air America Radio.